Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by now.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking. Now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
It fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that, too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
She's on my list, Andy.
Who?
Shannon Bream, my list for hottest women in the world.
She's not one of the hottest women in
She's
the world.
She's gorgeous. She's absolutely gorgeous. My favorite
this
reporter
is radio,
on Fox,
you know, Eric.
I know.
You're referencing a woman on TV.
You didn't even open the show yet.
I just want to say this. Fred Kirsch, who's not here today, not going to
but
be here
But he's already missed. 10 seconds into the show, we miss Fred.
He is a slob. He's an absolute pig. He's
Sloth.
Pig pen. Sitting at his computer here, there's some powdery substance, which I assume is powdered sugar and not
I don't know. He was all
cocaine.
Wound up last week.
All over the place. It's all over the console here. There's what looks like ketchup or marinara stains all over
Your
the laptop.
Damn Skippy.
The seat, which I don't normally sit in anyway, but the seat is just littered with all kinds of stains.
Too
I don't know of what
down.
Nature. But, oh, my God. I can't even touch this thing. It's so disgusting. But anyway...
That's what
first
she
time
said.
For PFW in Progress today, Andy. You and me doing a show together.
Ooh.
No Paul Perillo. No Fred Kirsch.
You're not going to sing just the two of us again, are you?
Please don't.
No, that's only for Paul because, you know, I like Paul better.
You make out well with Paul.
Yeah, there's Doctor chiming in the booth over there. Where's Tacoma? Is he going to get lunch?
He better be because he's not here.
Wow. So it's just you and me today, son.
That's all we got.
That's it.
Big
You're
news.
Stuck with us for 2 hours. What's that?
Supplemental draft.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Big day. I mean, I know fans circle this on the calendar. They work all year long.
Of course, yeah.
Boning up on the 8 prospects that are available.
Are you leaving early to go to your supplemental draft party?
I was thinking about it.
Really?
But I don't have to leave early because they moved it to primetime this year. Wanted to cash in on the ratings bonanza.
Going
to
stretch this out over 2 days, maybe?
Imagine if they did that. Because it is like
People would
the
watch
slowest...
It.
3 days, whatever, in the sports calendar. Nothing's happening. It's All-Star Weekend in baseball.
Yeah.
Once the game's over, I think they shot the ESPYs last night or something. They do the ESPYs weekend,
right.
So some people go. But maybe they should put the supplemental draft on TV and see if people will watch.
Yeah.
They won't.
We'll probably get a little bit more into the supplemental draft as we go. There are a lot of names on the list this year. Usually there's like one or maybe two guys, and the whole draft is about those one or two guys, but they're about
There were none last
eight.
Year.
Yeah, they canceled it
there
last year.
There was none last year, and this year they have 8, which is a large number.
And possibly some names you think the Patriots might be interested in?
There was
in?
A guy, McKinner Dixon.
McKinner Dixon from Texas Tech, defensive
end. Defensive end, probably a tweener. He's 6'3", 250 listed. Had 2 seasons at Texas Tech, not consecutive. had some issues, went to a junior college in between, obviously has issues. That's why he's in the supplemental draft, but has supposedly, according to Rob Rang's write-up, who is our PFW
he's
draft analyst, yep. also NFLDraftScout.com, has great burst and could be an option on the outside, an outside linebacker. Sounds like he's borderline, will get drafted, or could be available as a free agent, so maybe the Patriots would be interested in that route. We should explain just quickly how it works. Basically, teams bid on players. They send the league a list of which players they would take and mm-hmm. where. So McKinnor Dixon, the Patriots, say, I would use a sixth-round pick on him. Then the league pulls those all together. The teams are grouped according to their one-loss record from a year ago in three groups of 10. But it's basically set up the same way as the draft. So if the Raiders say they'd use a six-round pick, the Patriots say they would use a six-round pick, mm-hmm. the Raiders get him and lose their six-round pick in the following year's draft. Mm-hmm. Background information, Patriots have not used a supplemental pick under Belichick. The last was Jajuan Cherry, not Gerard, the brother, I believe in the fourth round of 99. Never played in the league or for the team. Mm-hmm. Back then, the supplemental draft was actually like first week of September, which made it a little different because the season was basically underway and you were joining a team.
Right.
They also drafted the other supplemental pick in Patriots
history. Do we want to throw that out as a
trivia
quiz?
Question?
Trivia question for the listeners today?
Without going to Google and cheating, I just gave you one. Name the other of the two Patriots supplemental draft picks in history. Who... where he was from, what round, whatever you may remember. And if you remember
anything
this,
about him.
God, you make Paul look like a cool person.
Do you even remember his name? I don't even remember his name.
His first name.
Okay, so
I remember his first name,
so
his
position.
So you're
saying I need to look
from.
This up, right?
No, because
well,
no one's going to guess
it
anyway.
It's in the media guide.
We'll answer it later. No one's going to get it.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I wouldn't say nobody.
Well, no one who doesn't cheat won't get it. I don't know how many. I had like quadruple negatives in that sentence, so I don't even know what I just said. But I mean, the supplemental draft used to be interesting. I mean, there's been times, various years, where Brian Bosworth, Bernie Kosar back in the day, Dave Brown was a first-round pick of the Jets, the quarterback.
Yep.
98, Mike Wall and Jamal Williams, future Pro Bowlers, were selected in the second round, I believe. But of late, it's kind of been devalued. Ahmad Brooks a few years ago, we thought the Patriots might have interest in as a big-bodied inside linebacker with 3-4 experience out of Virginia. Tony Hollings, the running back a few years back, was the hot prospect. This year it's, what's his name?
Jarman.
Yeah.
Defensive end from Kentucky.
You're not hearing much around here because he would make no sense as a Patriot. He's a true 4-3 end.
6'3", 278, clocked between roughly around 4'8 in his 40.
Myron Pryor's teammate.
Exactly.
His prior teammate.
Prior teammate. Haha, see what you did there. Yeah, he's the one. He's listed first on the Rangers little write-up here. But like you said, probably not a fit for this
You
team.
Like the guy at FSU?
Well, I just saw
37-year-old receiver who's been around the block
he's
17
He's not 37.
Times.
He's Corey Cerency, wide receiver, 6'5", 220. I bring it up just because a lot of our listeners were interested in guys like Matt Jones and even Plaxico Burress, who are, you know, taller, bigger-bodied receivers, and this guy certainly qualifies.
Plus, he's older than those guys.
He is. He's, much. Ran his 40 in the low 4.5, so, you know, not
for
the speed
size,
burner, but,
fine.
You know, that's not bad. Played only 1 year at FSU, transferring from El Camino Community College in California. Lost a year of eligibility because he played for the Florida Kings, a semi-pro team in South Florida, after he turned 21. So, He is turning 25 this year, so I don't know if you can say that maturity is a plus or not for this guy, but certainly worth a look. Blake Boyd, Western Kentucky, outside linebacker. The team also looking at outside linebackers. He's on the list here. What do you know about him, Andy?
Absolutely nothing.
6'3", 250, 3-year starter, originally signed with Louisville, forced to make himself eligible for the draft due to academic reasons, so...
Most of the guys in there are academic reasons. There's like 6 of the 8 or something are academic. Jarman failed a drug test.
Right.
Widely reported as a dietary supplement issue. There's one guy that had some arrest issues in the past.
The McKinnor Dixon was actually arrested, the guy we talked about earlier from Texas Tech, for driving without insurance and with an open container. So, little question mark there.
Yeah, that's an immaturity thing.
Wide receiver Deion Murphy, Kansas State, 5'10", 170. Punt return guy, led the conference with 17.5 per. Caught 57 passes, 605 yards, 5 touchdowns. Another JUCO transfer. Let's see.
Never know. Patriots could add a receiver. I doubt they'll add anybody, mm-hmm. but, I mean, receiver would be a possibility. Linebacker is always a possibility. You never know.
This is a little bit of a red flag, especially for this team. Left due to personality conflicts with the head coach.
Can't get along with Bill Snyder. I don't know if he'll be able to get along with Bill Belichick.
Exactly. Demetrius Morley, defensive back, Tennessee. Elite prospect, according to the Ranger here. Who infamously proclaimed, you'll love this, Andy, proclaimed that he'd be, quote, the biggest thing to hit Tennessee since Elvis. not. Academic suspension forced him back to his home state of Florida, where he was subsequently arrested for strong-armed robbery. What does that mean? You just, like, go up and, like, bully someone for their lunch money kind of thing?
But don't have a weapon.
Don't have a weapon, just sort of like...
have a weapon, then it would be. Hmm. Are you done putting people to sleep? No one cares about the 7th or 8th guy. Sorry.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
They do care about Patriots draft picks who've been signed, probably, though.
Yes! Richard.
Daryl Richard. It's Richard, but we like to call him Richard. And allegedly, your guy Seabass.
Vollmer.
According to today's Boston Globe.
Yeah, I'm not worried about any of these picks. They'll all be signed.
What do you think about this, though? Peppers failing to reach a long-term agreement with the Panthers.
Is this going to get back to your fantasy of Julius Peppers?
I'm just asking you a question.
He'll be available again next year. That's what this means.
You sure?
But more importantly, Matt Castle cashed in.
Big time.
Good for Matt.
$28 million guaranteed?
$28 million guaranteed, $40 million in the first 4 years. So a nice little contract for himself. I'm happy for him.
Did you see Tom Kern's piece today about quarterbacks getting their due because of all these high-priced contracts? He was talking about, like, the Suggs deal where he got, what, $33 million?
I believe so.
Guaranteed.
He got a good deal.
And that in the next year or two, guys like Brady, Eli Manning, Rivers, he included in there, are going to be, you know, demanding at least more than that. For their contracts, but he was interesting about Brady. He didn't think Brady would do something like that.
Like what?
Demand to have all this guaranteed money because he wouldn't want to handicap the Patriots.
Not so sure about that. I think he wants to be paid, and I certainly think he wants to be paid at the very least fair market value, and if fair market value for Matt Castle is one thing, well, Tom Brady's well above that. His fair market value is whatever Peyton Manning is getting, basically. Mm-hmm. So... I don't think Brady will hold him over a barrel and say, I need to be the first $200 million player or something ridiculous. But I think the PR spin of Tom Brady takes less for the team is bigger than it is in reality. I think he's pretty well paid.
And he's going to be...
And he got a real contract.
Right.
That's the other thing. He's all these contracts, Seymour and Brady, they get paid the money. It doesn't say $100 million, but a lot of guys that sign $100 million never reach $100 million. He's getting his 60-whatever million that he signed.
Now, it'll obviously depend on a little bit on what he does this season, how he comes back from this knee injury and everything. But
well, that would be interesting if he struggled this year.
Because he'll be 33 next summer. And if he does struggle, like you said, is he going to be worth demanding that kind of money?
Eric Scalavino talking about letting Tom Brady walk.
No, I'm just saying, it's got to be a consideration, no?
I would think.
Given his age... And if the injury does have an effect...
And when he has 10 touchdowns in the first three games, we'll say it's no longer a consideration. Sign him. He's the franchise. He's the best there is. Get it done. But I think one thing that... I didn't read the current piece that you need to take into account is the labor uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, in all likelihood, we're going to go into an uncapped year next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, we're starting to come down to the wire here. You don't just hammer out CBAs in a day or two. It's complicated negotiations, and I think they're going to be up against the clock, and I think it's going to be very difficult for them to get it done before the new league year starts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're talking about how deals fit in and what the rules are going to be. And I think you'll get the cap back, but players have always threatened if the cap goes away, you're never getting it back. And the potential to go away next March, there's going to be a lot of balls in the air. And I just think that that's something that maybe Curran isn't taking. I personally would do what Suggs did. I'll get my money. I'll take my $30 million. rather than do what Dansby and Peppers and
right,
those guys
another one
are doing,
who's,
are going just into the franchise year on the one-year tender, both for the second time, correct?
For the second time, yep.
So I personally would rather have my... Well, for Peppers, it's a huge amount of money either way. I mean, he's getting, what, 16?
16.7, I think,
yeah.
But
this year. I would rather go the Suggs route. I'll sign my long-term deal, get my $30 million. Maybe I cost myself 10, 20% down the road, but you know my theory about a bird in the hand, baby.
You were talking about the potential labor strife coming up. Did you see, I think it might have been yesterday, about Damari Smith, the labor head, was players union head, was up... already starting to press the flesh up on Capitol Hill, trying to get support for the players' side for this thing, saying, and his argument was basically, it's not just players and fans who will suffer if there's a lockout. Think of all the ancillary stadium employees, you know, the seasonal employees, the guys who take care of the field, just all the other stuff. Think of all those people who'll be put out of business.
So it's begun.
And he's going to, like, senators and congressmen from each of the NFL cities and trying to, you know, play to their
so it has begun.
Indeed. And so the show has begun. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Web radio.
It actually began about 17 minutes ago and you said, she's on my list.
She is. I was just picking up where we left off the other day on the show.
You don't have a list.
Web radio
you
at
do,
patriots.com.
It doesn't involve women.
It's the email address. You'll be surprised at this, Andy. Dan.
You're not getting
from Fairfax. yeah. All right. Answer.
Yeah.
He has an answer to our supplemental draft question.
He cheated. There's no doubt he cheated.
And it looks like it's the correct answer.
He is a statistician, so he may have known.
But he cheated. There's no one that knows an 11th round supplemental pick in 1981 out of URI.
And he did. Davidson.
I remember
URI
the
Chai. Wide receiver.
He's a Chai
way
guy.
Way to go, Dan.
The kind
way
of guy.
To go, Dan.
You're knocking the ability of the guy who writes the best Christmas poem every year and remembers things from the show that every time you hear the poem you go, oh yeah, we
but
did say that.
Chai Davidson? Did he give any?
No, that was just his.
Okay, we need a second email telling us if you cheated, why you know it, what's going on.
Just says, in 1981, the Pats selected Chai Davidson from University of Rhode Island. Dan in Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah, he cheated. Sorry, Dan. I love you. You're the best. You're one of the all-time great emailers, but you cheated.
Wow.
You are like Lance Armstrong. You cheat. You're good. But you cheat.
Last show we were talking about concerts.
They're setting up out.
They
lots
are
of
setting
activity.
Up one as we were coming by.
They were wrapping up lunch break, I believe, as we. Were
yeah, going. And they were yelling, hooting, and hollering at something.
I think the guy had an eye for you, which you know,
that's
might
not
be
right.
Interested.
That's not right at all. But Derek from the Whitman-Hanson area, don't know exactly where that area is.
Is he in Whitman or Hanson?
Yeah, you know, it's in that area. Has a bone to pick with you. He says, Andy, no taste. Guys, longtime listener, it's been a while since I sent you an email. I don't really have much to say about the Pats right now.
Nobody does.
Nor do we. We know it's dead this time of year. Andy, I don't know
can't
how...
Can't say that.
Well, he said it. Andy, I don't know how many concerts you've been to, but since I was 15 and have been to about 10 to 15 big money concert tours a year, ranging from Fish...
A
to,
year?
That's what it says. Ranging from Fish...
Buy us lunch. You're rich.
You know Fish, right?
Yes.
College band. To country festivals... In parentheses, he says, not a country fan, but lots of beautiful women attend. He's right about that.
Mm-hmm.
To Slipknot shows, to whatever. While I agree that most concerts don't sound as good as a studio-recorded album, there are exceptions. Tool, A Perfect Circle, Nine Inch Nails put on great shows, and they were awe-inspiring. The sound some of these bands can put out with the state-of-the-art equipment is freaking amazing, and not to mention the special effects.
Two of those also, bands would make your night, huh, if you put them together? Nine Inch
Stop.
Tool.
Stop.
Isn't that what got you in trouble a couple weeks ago with studio guests?
No. I also saw a Metallica show there at Gillette and thought they sounded better live than on record, and there were quite a few other concerts that have really had a jaw-dropping effect. The most important part about concerts, in my opinion, is the drug and alcohol effect. While I don't drink, I love seeing crowds of drunken, rowdy people creating this huge party atmosphere.
I notice he didn't say, while I don't do drugs.
Right. At Gillette, I saw a woman take her pants off and bend over and just flaunt her beautiful bottom side for a good amount of time. She was a 10, by the way. I love concerts. There are other factors that coincide
Stay
with
classy.
Audio quality when going to a show, like where you're sitting, outdoors or indoors. Is the mixer doing a good job? Stuff like that.
I'm probably not going to see a woman take her pants off and bend over at Billy Joel and Elton John, am I?
Unless it's a cougar.
And then you don't want to see that. Also want to just add, you guys are doing a fantastic job over there. I'm actually kind of shocked because of the Pats. The
hell does that mean?
After the Pats lost the Super Bowl, I stopped listening to you guys. Just too painful. But when I finally did come back, you guys seemed to be much more entertaining than I remembered. Paul and Andy were always good radio personalities, but I always kind of thought Fred was comic relief but didn't bring all that much to the table. I was wrong.
I agree. Fred has gotten better over the years. Do you agree with that, Doctor? We can talk about him while he's not here. Fred didn't used to be good.
This is true.
And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened.
I think he stopped caring.
I do think he suffered a mild midlife crisis slash breakdown, and that made him much more entertaining and enjoyable to be around. But in the old days, he wasn't always good.
You know what it is? Brian Morey is gone.
That could be it. Brian Morey does tend to drag everyone and everything around him down. Visit the Hall, a Patriot Place, presented
maybe.
By...
And he ends with, find the great debate part two. I'm leaning towards Andy's side, but I don't know. It's really tough to consider. My mind starts to go loopy when I really ponder each choice.
Okay, so
that
let's break
one
this
won't
down.
Die.
I will give you a little bit of a rundown of some of the concerts I've seen.
Okay. And if,
I agree. It's funny because I don't love, like, heavy metal,
neither
but I think
I
would enjoy seeing Metallica in person. I got to think the atmosphere and the raucous nature of the show would be kind of contagious.
I'd rather see a band like Metallica than like Poison or one of those stupid hair bands.
Right.
Metallica's more like a real, band.
I think I could enjoy that. Maybe, what's coming here, AC/DC?
Yeah.
I bet you that's a show that's pretty contagious and kind of you get wrapped up in the whole environment. But I've seen pretty much low-key stuff. I've seen Billy Joel before. I've seen Elton John before. I've seen Dave Matthews here. Well, actually,
the old Foxborough
at the old Foxborough with Santana.
Was that good? Because I know people swear by Dave Matthews.
I thought it was good, but a lot of Dave Matthews fans I know go to every show. They go to Hartford, they go to Boston, they go to. I just don't get it. I'm sorry. It was good. It was okay. It sounded like Dave Matthews, just like it is when I put my CD in, and that costs a lot less. I saw kind of a gay one in Providence. What was that one? Bare Naked Ladies. They actually put on a very good show.
They actually are very good.
They did a lot of, like, what do you call them, covers and stuff, and Screwed Around. And
that's their whole shtick,
they
though,
were here,
you
too.
Oh, I didn't see them here.
Yeah, you did. That's, it was, you know, opener.
Oh, I probably couldn't hear them.
What, after the Super Bowl?
Yeah, they did. They played in 05.
Then I was here.
The home opener 05 when Ozzy came out of the helmet.
That's
okay.
Home opener. Not home opener.
Sorry, did I slur?
What else? That's it?
I think I've seen more. I've seen like the college stuff when I was at Tufts. LL Cool J was a pretty good show.
Oh, yeah, that must
be college.
Old school stuff, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like LL Cool J.
Yeah.
I really haven't seen a lot of concerts, I guess. I think I've seen a couple more that I'm not remembering.
Well, Dan Heffron wrote back in, by the way.
Cheated.
Says, I bent the rules, did not break them. You said I couldn't look it up online, and I didn't.
Media guide.
He has a Pats media guide at his desk.
It's still cheating.
Of course, I wouldn't remember an 11th round.
You used the cream
pick,
and the clear? You didn't know what was in it? You're going the Barry Bonds route. You cheated. You didn't bend anything. You broke it. That's why you're not getting a prize. That, and we didn't have a prize to give.
Don't know who this is, but might be a new person. GT from NC.
Okay.
Chiming in on the concert debate. Andy, you say you hate concerts because the music sounds, quote, different from the CD. You say it's a waste of money. Should football fans watch all games on TV because you get better quality views of the game or spend the money for a ticket and live experience? Good question.
Mr. Kraft, if you're listening, please tune out right now. But I think it's debatable. I think you can get a very good experience at home with an HD TV and the replays and the camera
angles. You can. There is something different about seeing a game in person, though.
Right.
That you can't get on
television.
But
you also miss a lot of stuff that you see on TV you can't see.
Well,
from
replays and things like that, yeah.
And I also am amazed by the number of season ticket holders. The amount of time, energy, money that these people invest, I think, is tremendous. I mean, I think it's a very admirable dedication to the team because they have to drive through traffic. Mm-hmm. They set up their tailgating every week. And a lot of them are very elaborate and with the things they go through.
Ridiculously so.
I think it's a special and unique person that goes through that.
You know how early we get here on
Imagine
Gators.
The kind of TV you could buy with all the money they invest in.
Oh.
The home theater you could put together.
You could go to see games.
Stop listening to
all over
office.
The country with that. You know how early we get to games here.
Yes.
Usually 3, sometimes 4 hours before kickoff. There are already people with the tent set up in the season ticket
TV
holder
set
parking
up, by
lot.
The way,
yeah, with
to
that,
watch the early, late
the food
game.
Food has already been cooked.
Food that I couldn't afford to eat. You know, on a fancy dinner,
it's
very impressive. But I do think there's a debate. Funny, the other day when I was at the Red Sox, though, I heard a guy behind me say, football is my favorite sport, but it's just not that exciting in person. Which I'm thinking,
what?
You're at a Red Sox game. I love baseball, but don't tell me it's more exciting, bang for your buck, 3 hours of action, than watching Tom Brady hit Randy Moss for a 35-yard touchdown pass. Don't tell me that. And he was talking about how he'd rather watch the NFL at home, and he feels like it's better. I don't know if it's better. You can get a pretty good view of the game, but it certainly is cheaper when you bring into account parking and tailgating.
It's a great experience coming to a game, though.
I agree.
It really is.
But
I mean,
the thing is, it's hard to get single tickets.
Yeah, unless you pay through the nose for it.
Right. Because I
think
all fans should go to a game a year just to go to be part of the team, to kind of get a feel for the team.
You're almost better off going to a road game.
All right. We've done enough to hurt ticket sales. So
no. I'm not saying the Patriots. I'm saying anybody. It's almost better to go to a road game.
Well, I'm a big fan of that.
Any fan of any team.
I've started doing more of that, seeing games on the road, and I went down to Baltimore to see the Red Sox. I think that's a cool experience. You see a stadium, a city. It's a nice little mini vacation.
Although in the case of Baltimore, it's like being at Fenway.
Yes.
There are so many Red Sox
Except
fans
nicer.
On there.
Except I paid $41 and got to sit in the club level where I had this huge club. They bring the food to your seat. $41 at Fenway gets you standing room only, I think.
I wonder what it's like in Tampa, because, you know, they're all transplanted New Englanders down in Florida. But the Rays are been kind of good the last few years.
But even then, they didn't build up enough following. Their attendance wasn't great.
So you go to a game there, it's probably like loud for the Red Sox.
Yeah. Yeah. Red Sox fans travel as well as anybody in all of sports.
First chime in today from Strippers. Says, subject line, if Brady gets hurt again, will New England be in serious trouble?
Yes.
This is a question in the NFL.com chat going on right now. How do you answer? Here's the NFL.com chat guy's answer. It's Bucky Brooks. Quote, injuries can ruin any team's playoff aspirations, including the Patriots. However, they have a solid roster with talent at all of the skill positions. If Brady was to go down again this season, Kevin O'Connell would likely succeed him as the team builds around his strengths while using the talent that surrounds him. I hate to jump on the Patriots bandwagon, but they do an excellent job in the preparation phase, and their players tend to buy into the game plan regardless of who is injured or not.
Okay.
Well, that is kind of true.
I agree it's a talented team, but I think we're getting a little bit of ahead of ourselves. I saw an allusion to, are the Patriots to quarterbacks what the Broncos once were to running backs? You just plug a guy in and he's a 1,000-yard rusher. First of all, it's one guy. Because you went from one, who's one of the greatest of all time, and is going to be a Hall of Famer,
right,
to another guy. That's not really a trend. I mean,
I think what they might
be
going back
between 2 points.
Well, they might be going back to even further to Bledsoe.
Yeah, but that was different.
From Bledsoe to Brady, and then Brady
that
to
was
Castle,
a number one overall pick. I mean, I think it's a leap to make that. But I also think if O'Connell comes in, he will not be as good as Castle. He'll still have the talent around him. He may have a
because
better defense.
Because he's not as talented as Castle, or because he's younger?
Well, what is talent? I mean, physical tools?
Yeah.
I think O'Connell has physical tools. But I watch him throw passes at the shins of guys 5 yards away. So whether that's mental, physical, experience, whatever, it's not good. It won't lead to success on the football field. And I saw Matt Castle get better each and every time he took the field. And that throw he made to Randy Moss against the Jets...
Yep.
I just don't
I mean, against the Chiefs.
No, the Jets.
Corner of the...
Oh, that one. Yeah, my bad. I'm sorry.
That throw right there, I don't think everyone can make. I don't think you plug them into a system, and just because Randy Moss was on the other end, a guy puts it right where only Moss can get it, perfectly placed, not too far out of bounds, and I know Moss made a great catch, but that was a great throw. And I thought Castle made not a ton of great plays, but a lot of NFL caliber plays once he started to get comfortable and playing. And I don't just assume every quarterback that you plug in because Welker and Moss are there is capable of making all those throws and getting them the ball, running the offense, becoming more confident as the weeks go on, learning to not take the sack. I think there's some guys in there that they look like Castle did in September would still look that way in November.
Right.
I don't think they learn as quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it with O'Connell could be he's only been here for a year. He's not a fourth-year man in the system. Everything's not as familiar to him. So I find it hard to believe that they're going to be the same with X quarterback thrown in there. I don't see it happening. And they have a tougher schedule this year, I think.
They do.
So
especially the second half.
I think they'd be at best
second half of the schedule.
An 8-8 football team. Maybe worse. I'm not sold on O'Connell ready to play right now. I think he's physically talented.
I do, and
about
I think
as much
will,
as I'm
I think
willing
that
to
will
say.
Help him.
I do too,
I
but
think, and I think he's smart enough to make that the progression you were talking about, getting better each week, and as far as taking the sack.
You know how you know how Crable Paul makes fun of me because I go, he's got those skinny legs. Yeah. I can't move past it. Well, O'Connell, I can't move past the fact that when I see him throw a little 5-yard passes, they're rarely on target. 15-yard outs, 12-yard in cuts, he looks good. But I think in the NFL with Welker on your team in this offense, you need to be able to make those throws that are short consistently. Put it on point. You need to hit Kevin Faulk so that when he catches it, he picks up 6 yards after the catch. Welker, so that he gets his 7, 8, 9, 10 yards after the catch. I'm not sure O'Connell's ready to do that.
Now, I want to go back to that Castle to Moss throw against the Jets. I agree it was a great throw, and I agree that more times than not, Castle would probably be able to make that throw.
In the situation, let's not forget
in the
either.
Situation
the situation
was,
is,
right,
there's
had
pressure,
the
there's, it's
he
not
had
just
to
a Joe
the
average throw in the Joe average game.
Right.
It was also pouring.
It was?
I don't think it was.
Jets game?
No, it wasn't.
Not during the throw, it wasn't.
No.
Might have rained out at some point.
I think it definitely rained at some point.
Yeah, it wasn't pouring.
I vividly remember being soaked.
Because our cover was...
I had a colonoscopy. Yeah. I don't remember anything.
But do you think 9 times out of 10 he makes that throw, or 8 times out of 10 he makes that throw?
I think he makes it
4, 5, 6
in that range.
But that's good enough. Because
I think Brady makes it 6, 7, 8. I don't think anybody makes it 10 out of 10.
Because my point was...
the greatest quarterback of all time. They're not making it 10. Joe Montana's not making it 10 out of 10.
My point was, you don't think it's 1 out of 10, and that just happened to be the one.
No.
And he got lucky.
I think it's mid-range, 4, 5, 6. I think O'Connell right now, I would put it like 1, 2, 3.
8.
Somewhere in there.
Well done, doctor.
Did anybody see that story about the colonoscopies where they were cleaning the tube at the end of the day and not between appointments?
Oh, now, God, did that happen to you?
I don't know. I wasn't at the place where it happened, but there's a chance other places do the same thing.
That's disgusting.
That tube seen more butt than you.
See now. I have to play the role of Fred. See now.
You would have laughed first if you were Fred.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another topic we should bring up, whether fans are excited about a second sports radio station in Boston.
Yeah, didn't we kind of touch on that the other day?
No, I don't think Paul? We hadn't really. It was kind of just coming out.
Muddy details.
Release was.
Yeah.
Felger. More Felger for all you Felger fans.
Great. Yeah,
more Gary Tangway for all you Gary Tangway fans.
What are they going to do with the rest of the day?
Toucher and Rich will be doing the morning show. I don't know.
Who are you touching?
Her.
What? Rich?
It's not touch him, so don't get excited.
I didn't say that.
But yes, WBZ will be carrying Patriots game on Patriots games, all of them, not just one.
WBZ FM.
FM, 98.5. So I get it way down by me.
They're not going by WBZ FM. It's 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, but in the story today, though, they were making a point to emphasize that it would be WBZ call letters.
It will be, but you're not going to hear them do like EEI does where you're listening to sports radio.
The Sports Hub.
It's 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kind of like that station
that
in San Diego. They're not XX. They could have something
else
involved.
Yeah, their call letters aren't X, unless it's KXX or whatever.
But, there'll be an alternative. There'll be Patriots and Bruins games on CBS FM Sports Talk Radio.
I wonder if our guy Capello is going to be producing any of those shows.
I hope. I sent him an email. He hasn't responded.
Well, but he doesn't respond to emails.
Hoping he's still employed.
He has to.
There was a shakeup there.
He has to keep us informed via text message every time he has a confrontation with somebody at the coffee line.
Right.
But, you want to ask him something legitimate or, he goes on a rant about.
Some political.
Oh, he's going to be big time upset about this Obama story.
Which one?
They're coming to the vineyard for vacation, so they're going to be right in his backyard. He's going to be all upset about that.
Yeah, so is my wife. She seems to think that despite the economic crisis we're supposedly still in or whatever, that Obama has an awful lot of free time on his
hands.
Speaking
of Barack Obama.
Yeah. There's another story that you and I were talking about upstairs the other day that one of our emailers wants to touch on involving Tom Brady. You might have seen it. You might have heard of it. Gary in Randolph says, hey, guys, love the show. Longtime listener and season ticket holder.
Well, good job, Gary. I respect you.
So he's one of those guys with the tent out there.
He's pitching a tent.
Games. What's that now?
Pitching a tent.
As much as I'm excited to see Tom Brady back on the field, I'm equally appalled at the press given to him regarding his stolen window box flowers and the fact that he wanted restitution for
flowers. You kind of read that weird.
Well, because it's a
window
box.
Weird,
I know, but
it's one word, isn't it?
But I was thinking it was something different. That's
stolen
why I was
window box flowers.
From what I heard, the guy was caught, and Brady wants the $6,000 in costs paid to him. Can you straighten me out and tell me what the guys, what you guys think of a millionaire even bothering with this, considering the economy and what regular people are going through?
It was $4,000 restitution ordered by the court. It went through the legal system. The guy was supposed to pay, I believe, $333.33 a month till it was paid off.
Well, who's the guy, first of all? I mean, wasn't he a... Yeah,
basically,
he was a vagrant, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't like a neighbor or something.
No. And he it sounds shady that he stole something worth like $8,000, but I guess there was potential for confusion. He was going through ritzy neighborhoods looking for garbage, things to sell.
This
he
was in
scrapped
California.
It. No,
right?
This was in Boston.
This was? Okay.
Back Bay or wherever it was.
Okay.
In the alley behind it. The delivery man had left it where kind of garbage is also left. He took it. Scrapped it for like $400, then was seen on the videotape taking it, accused of whatever the crime exactly was of stealing it, and went through the courts and was ordered to pay $4,000, $333 a month, and
grand theft window box flowers.
Window box flowers sold stale, but then also had an aneurysm at some point, so the guy's really down on his luck and has been panhandling trying to get the money, but in the end, the last I'd read, a local businessman had kind of swooped in and was going to pay the debt off for him. So,
but Brady's not budging, it sounds like.
Out there.
He wants his money.
I don't know exactly. No, I don't really necessarily say he should, just other than it would make good PR.
Mm.
I mean, if a guy stole something from me, I probably would want the money even if I was rich.
Right. Yeah,
but
it just seems like he gets pressed for anything he does.
Good and bad.
Right. You know, the whole thing when he was in the kayak in the Charles a month or so ago and he flipped over. I mean, that had legs for a while. They had radio stations were trying to track down the people at the dock who helped him out.
And they got the woman. Remember, she was
they
a school
did.
Teacher.
And that's right.
And she has like photos of him on her MySpace page. They got out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, lunch is here.
So.
And Andy wants to feed his fat head, so we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is NFL and Patriot Hall of Famer Andre Tippett inviting you to join me at the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon for the next installment of the Hall Speaker Series on Friday, July 24th at 6:30 p.m. This is your chance to spend an evening with me, ask questions about my career, and get an autograph. Tickets are on sale now and are just $25 and include your admission to the Hall. Get yours now by calling 866-995-2456 or buy online at thehall@patriotplace.com. And I'll see you on July 24th at the Hall.
David Beckham is back. Saturday, August 8th at 6 p.m. is your chance to see soccer icon David Beckham at Gillette Stadium. Be there as the international superstar and the Los Angeles Galaxy come to New England to take on the Revolution for the only time this year. Don't miss out on this exclusive chance to see the phenomenon that is David Beckham. Be a part of the madness and cheer on the Revs as they look to beat L.A. This is the most star-studded event in New England this summer, and this is your chance to see it live. Limited quantities of tickets are on sale now and start at just $20. Get yours now by calling the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or by logging on to revolutionsoccer.net. David Beckham, an international celebrity and one of the world's greatest soccer stars. This is your one and only chance to see him in New England. Don't get shut out. Get your tickets now.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other.
For the first time ever, outdoors in New England,
Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes KCDC. Live in concert, July 28th. KCDC. July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for ACDC at Ticketmaster.com, the Gillette Stadium box office, or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. ACDC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
A rooster, also called a cock or a chanticleer, the female being called a hen. The oldest term is cock from Old English. Cock.
So Andy's a chicken? Is that what you're telling me?
Hen equal female chicken. Rooster equal male chicken. So welcome to second grade, Fred.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
I haven't heard that one in a long time. I almost forgot about favorite. That one. That is a good one. Well, you won't be getting any great moments today on this show.
Not with you here.
There's no Fred. It's just me and Andy. It's Eric and Andy today.
Yeah, don't forget to get Fred's from Tuesday, where he said if you're going to the beach alone, be sure to take a friend.
That is priceless. That is classic Fred.
I also like your, I forgot I had a colonoscopy one.
He really tore you down a little bit on Tuesday.
Fred? Yeah, I know. That's what he's become.
Even I felt bad for you.
He's become one of these obsessed listeners who likes to propagate the myth that you've created around me.
There's an art show going on in Tiverton. Are you involved?
I'm not.
How come? Did you
Thanks
try?
For asking. We just heard that
my mouth is on fire. Where's the
Maybe
soda?
You should stop putting. Never
it's coming.
Mind.
Oh, hey.
We just heard the ad for the AC/DC concert. You're going to get your tickets? You said you might consider that. You're going to get them?
I'm done spending money for the summer. I've spent way too much money this summer in this economy. Well, now that I have two kids.
Well, Mike in Erie wants to talk about concerts again. Says Andy, in regard to the concerts not being up to par, a few years back, my wife and I saw AC/DC in Cleveland. Well, as they typically show video of the band playing on large video screens above the stage. During the song The Jack, the cameras showed girls in the audience. Every one of them took
Jackpot.
Off their shirt.
The Including last... your wife?
No. The ones whose pictures were on the screen. I don't think his wife was. But he says the last chick pulled hers off, and then the person directly behind started fondling her beautiful
nice.
Breasts. She turned around in shock only to find out it was another chick. Then they started...
Mike's wife?
Then they started making out. Enough said. Live shows rock. Maybe you can check out AC/DC.
I'd just like to point
in
out,
July.
None of this has to do with the music.
Yes, but that's part of the experience, Andy. That's their point.
So why don't I take the
You can't listen
300
to a CD
bucks,
and
gonna,
get that experience.
But
unless
I can take
you're paying,
$300
you know,
I'm going to spend on tickets and go buy
client.
A call girl or whatever.
That's
or
what
one
I'm
of strippers girls.
But
don't let the music get in the way.
But it sounds like a lot of these girls who are doing this at the concerts are maybe even hotter than that.
What's going on out there, Tamash? What was the delay
Tamash
in my
bringing
soda?
Bringing in the soda now.
Shakedown from who?
Just getting shakedown.
Grab a mic. Do you need to tell me something on air? Is this going to make an interesting segment? Why?
No, absolutely not.
Why is it a long story about who bought lunch, too, today?
Because Rajiv was supposed to buy lunch. We sent him the order, and we never heard from him. So Tacoma picked up your lunch today.
Oh, so do we have to read Tacoma's email?
Paid for it?
Well, until we get reimbursed from Rajiv.
But what just happened at the door? Give me that quick.
It's a person who's with Billy Joel and Elton John, and they were asking if we were going to need to access the studio through the green room outside, to which we said, no, we can use the door into the on-air studio, and we'll give
back
them their
door.
Space.
Eric likes the back door anyway.
You were the one talking about that yesterday, taking the back way in, driving to Gillette.
Well, that was to avoid paying money.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right. Well, you don't need to do that. We have employee passes to park.
Now. Let's keep that on the down low.
Parking, please send your email to webradio@patriots.com.
These Billy Joel types, though, they think they own the place.
Well, you know, when they fill the stadium, they have a right to think that.
Although, to be fair, usually by this time in the week, isn't that room actually blocked off and filled with catering? And
There were the donuts when we left the show on Tuesday. Did you see all that?
Good thing Paul wasn't here.
Yeah, they would have been missing a tray of those.
Doctor, are you involved with these concerts in any way?
No.
Are you going to be here?
No.
It's going to have a cool stage.
I saw it last night during the soccer doubleheader.
Okay, and?
It was just wrought iron right now, but it should be nice when it's done.
All right. What's your favorite Billy Joel song?
That's a good question. I like all of them.
And or favorite album? Because you've got plenty of those.
I'm not really an album guy because I kind of came along later. So I'm kind of...
So you don't know the earlier
through
stuff?
Through the greatest hits.
Oh, really?
The one and two greatest hits.
Yeah.
Not we didn't. I liked that a lot when I was in, like, elementary school. That's actually one that came out in my lifetime at some point.
This helped me get through my college history class.
Oh, God.
There's a lot in there. He squeezes there a lot into 3.5 minutes of song. But no, I like Piano Man and...
That's a classic.
What's the Bottle of Red, Bottle of White?
It's Scenes from an Italian Restaurant.
Captain Jack.
Yep.
That's my wife's ringer now for... Because we have Jackson, so she had that as her ringer. But I like all that stuff.
Uptown Girl, another classic.
Okay.
Too pop-ish for you?
Yeah, a little bit. He got a little weird in there, kind of. I like him more at the piano, kind of not getting all wild and crazy. Mm-hmm. But I will be intrigued to see how he gets wild and crazy going back and forth with Elton John as they do the piano thing.
Yep.
Dueling.
He's got to, you should hear his very first album was called Cold Spring Harbor. He was like hippie days. He had a beard, like long, really long hair. His voice sounds completely different. You would not recognize that that was Billy Joel on that album compared to, you know, later stuff that he did.
I like the song, too, about the boat.
Named the Downeaster Alexa.
Yeah, I like that.
It's about about his daughter.
Right. I like that. And but he's a big boat guy.
He is. Yeah. Because he lives in Long Island, Montauk, or whatever it is.
Yeah. So, and he needs some money, so he's doing a concert. And Andy forked over his.
Does he need money? Do you think?
Well, he just got divorced again, so I'm guessing yes.
He divorced that tall girl.
The third, I believe, whichever the third or fourth.
Yeah, she was like half his age and dark hair.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if it's finalized or ongoing, but...
Yeah. Oh, I hadn't heard about that. Well, then, yeah, I guess he does need to do a concert.
Right.
Then. Oh, my God.
Although he should be careful. If he's smart, he waits till the divorce goes through and then does the concert so he can keep 100%, not 50%.
I guess. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. The phone number, Dave in the Philippines is on the line. What's up, Dave?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Pretty good.
Long time no talk.
Well, you know, I got a job, and I have weekly meetings Wednesday mornings, so you guys are on Tuesday night from midnight to 2 in the morning, and when I got to be at work an hour drive away at 9 in the morning, it's sort of hard to stay up that late.
You got to go the podcast
route. I've
gotten
the habit of listening to the podcast.
Yeah, right. Put the podcast
really
in the iPod, put it in the car, you know?
Yep. Hey,
Dave, my brother-in-law is in the Philippines right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know
what
he's
doing. You guys always swore up and down you'd never go here.
I never will. I can't control my brother-in-law.
That's okay.
Plus, he's making money, I think, so he's following the buck, basically.
Yeah. That's good. It's good to make money for a change.
Word.
I can empathize with that.
So what's up? What's new?
Hey, well, a couple of things. First of all, a couple of months I sent you an email saying I wasn't likely to get back in a while. I hope you would use that lunch that I won from you guys. And then I did listen a couple of weeks ago, and you're eating somebody else's Qdoba lunch. So I hope you got around using mine, or if you didn't, please do before it expires, because I'd hate to see all that food go to waste.
Doctor,
I know you
take
guys
care
are
of that.
Good eaters.
Yeah, we are good eaters, and we'll make sure we take care of that.
And the Qdoba spread is a very good one.
Yes.
Well,
especially their cookies, which is surprising. I mean, you wouldn't think, you
tremendous
know, Mexican restaurant would. That's not a specialty of theirs, is chocolate chip cookies, but they make excellent chocolate chip
cookies. I
would
say their two best items are the cookies and their chips, their homemade tortilla chips. You make a little nacho.
Yeah.
Ooh, good stuff. But, Dave, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go. You're the guest.
Well, I was listening to you guys talk about the concerts in the stadium, and that got me all nostalgic because I used to build the stages there.
Oh, really?
For some of the shows.
You were a roadie?
I was a stagehand for Don Love. No, I was a local guy.
Oh, okay.
But I worked for Don Love for 15 years, mostly bigger shows. So I did a lot of building of things at the stadium.
From what year frame, what era?
I did stadium shows from 86 till probably the last stadium show I did maybe was 98 or 99.
Oh.
Give us some
over here in 2000.
What? Give us some names. What sort of acts were you helping out?
Well, pretty much there was a period of 8 or 9 years where pretty much any stadium show I would have done something for, if it was just an in or out, or maybe build the stage.
Bon Jovi?
Grateful Dead, Madonna, U2, you know, everything that came through there pretty much that needed the stage built.
So were you one of those whack jobs who were climbing these towers and walking across steel rigging?
For a period of time, I did that. The earlier days back, Grateful Dead, Madonna, Dave Bowie, Glass Spider Tour, I was working for the stage company and not Don Law, so I did a bunch of climbing.
So it's,
I tell you, it's fun going up there and doing the point at the top of those things when you're building the lighting towers and it's windy outside and the steel's flowing back and forth and you're chained to the top piece and waiting for the next one to be passed up.
So from what I know about you, you've worked way up in the air doing roadie stuff and you've worked in the Philippines, so clearly you just have a death wish.
Oh, come on. Life is easy over here. It's not dangerous.
What do you do over there?
I work in Metro Manila, and most of the time I work out of my own house. And the most dangerous thing I have to deal with here is traffic.
Wow. Well, that could be anywhere. Boston's the same thing.
Yeah, seriously.
Exactly. Exactly my point. I feel every bit as safe walking around here, and, you know, getting in and out of my car as I did driving in Boston traffic.
Dave, how do you check out the Patriots games? How do you keep up with that during the season?
Well, I get the internet radio through NFL.com, and there up until last year, there were a fair number of Patriots games on TV because there was two different stations, and it sort of changes every year who has the NFL contract.
Right.
But it was a period of time where all the night games were broadcast over here live, and the Patriots had a number of night games the last few years.
Yeah, and
Last year wasn't so good, but I actually came there for one game. Unfortunately, it was the Miami game.
Oh, the Wildcat game?
Home, so. Yeah. So that was sort of a bummer after watching them win all those games on TV, actually get to see one in person, and then they sort of stunk up the joint for that day.
That's too bad.
But, can't have everything.
And
it was still a good time.
Did you check out the hall? Was it open at that point? Because it opened in September of last year.
Your buddy Fred took me over for a tour of the hall the week before. It was going to open the following Monday.
Oh, you got the sneak peek.
And they had a preview tour.
Nice.
And so Fred hooked me up with that. And I didn't get a chance to meet most of you guys because I wasn't there on a work day. But I was there, I think, the week before game day or the day before or something. And
the hall was impressive,
huh? I was able to arrange. Yeah, it was. It was really nice. I advise everybody that hasn't gotten a chance to do that, if you're a Patriots fan, by all means, go over there and see it. It was well worth the time.
Presented by Raytheon.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget that.
Yeah, well, hey, I have to forget that. I worked for those guys for 12 years.
Oh.
And we don't want to talk about that.
So Dave from the Philippines, presented by Raytheon.
Formerly presented by Raytheon.
Formerly, yeah. That was my first job out of college, actually, and my stepdad worked there for many decades, and actually my mother worked there for a while, too. So,
did you live in Rhode Island?
A long history with Raytheon.
Did you live in Rhode Island?
No. I lived in Boston, Sudbury, Waltham.
Oh, okay.
There were Raytheon facilities in all those places.
Oh, okay. They had the big, you know, the big headquarters down in Rhode Island.
Lexington. I worked there for a few years, too. That was the last place I ended up before I left the company.
All right. Anything else, Dave?
No, it's really not much football talk now. I'm dying for the preseason to start and see Tom get on the field and see how his knee looks, just like everybody else.
Oh, and Dave, Dave, you like Andy and I must be very relieved now that Brett Favre has finally put a deadline for his decision. I'm trying to be as sarcastic as possible as I say this.
Yeah, honestly, I could care less about Brett Favre.
Yeah,
you know?
Neither. I'm with you.
As long as he doesn't get a job here, I'm fine. You know, if he wants to play somewhere,
I can guarantee.
His reputation,
he's not coming here.
So.
He will never get a job with the New England Patriots.
Nope.
But I want to watch Brett Favre.
I don't think so.
All right, Dave.
All right, buddy.
Hey, have a good one, guys. Talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Say hello to that nice little Filipino woman you hang out with.
Yeah, she's at work right now, actually.
See you, Dave.
All right, man. Wow, that's good. That's good. I thought he was off the line at that point, but you snuck that in there right at the last second. You always do that to callers. You always
try to.
You always say, all right, goodbye, and then you throw a little shot at them thinking they won't hear you.
I try to.
comes back and bites you sometimes.
Well, you know, it is what it is. I'm okay. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
We were talking about Castle earlier and his guaranteed money and all that. Dwayne from Boston writes in, doesn't Bernard Pollard deserve a thank you from Matt Castle for his $63 million contract? It's the least that Matt can do, right? Also, has any other athlete in professional sports ever cashed in so quickly, easily, and excessively after an injury to the starter? I can think of one other than Matt Castle. Is he thinking of Scott Mitchell?
Was that as quick, though?
Well,
Mitchell had been a backup for a couple years.
He had, but he started, like seven games for Miami when Marino went down, and then the Lions threw all that money at him.
Well, Matt Schaub would be a good example. He developed.
Didn't he play the whole year that year, or most of it?
Oh, no, not even. No. He had less playing time than Matt Castle before the Houston. He had the Patriots game and I believe one other where he did well. And, I mean, I think he'd be a prime example.
Yeah, the Patriots game, he had, what, four touchdowns in that game? Or
300 yards, yep.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that if Pioli wasn't the GM of Kansas City, that that deal is as big as it is?
That's a good question, Doc.
Yes. I think it was the market value for what he is right now. Because Aaron Rodgers got a similar deal last year, taking over as starter in Green Bay, unproven. He had already made more money because he was a first-round pick.
I do, too.
Something right about in that range was, unless you're willing to roll the dice and just go the 1 year at the $15 million,
especially,
which is a dangerous game to play.
Especially giving up at least a second-round pick for him. You know, you need to kind of have to pay the guy commensurate to what
and
you gave up
especially in
for
the
him,
landscape.
You know?
There's not that many good quarterbacks. At worst, he's going to be an NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
At best, he might be a top-five NFL quarterback. But I don't think it would be smart to roll the dice with it, and because you're paying him $15 million, you might as well. You're only on the hook for another $13 million over potentially a few years, so the price would only go up. Yeah, I think they made a good move.
I do too.
Plus, I like him. Settle down.
I do too. I hope he doesn't
start a legacy in Kansas City.
I hope he doesn't get poisoned by the whole, you know, becoming rich and famous and
he won't.
All
no
that
chance.
Thing. I mean,
no
he looks like he's the kind of guy who won't.
He won't. I guarantee it. I'm giving you the Andy Hart guarantee. Matt Castle will be Matt Castle 3 years from now.
I like to think that, too.
How about a tall, skinny bench warmer?
Well, not anymore.
How about he makes more guaranteed than you're making over the life of your contract?
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
It may be kind of gay, but it's reality. Sorry, Wes.
You're having an imaginary argument with a guy who's not here.
Him, $28.5 million guaranteed. You, $18 million total over 5 years.
A nice little player.
Yeah. That's what he thinks you are now because he's a superstar quarterback. Is that all you got? We out?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We've kind of exhausted that.
We should tell Chris when he puts up the podcast, listen to Andy Hart go one-on-one with Wes Welker discussing Matt Castle's new contract.
It was a very one-sided argument.
Well, it would be. He's a nice little
player. Yeah.
Although they now share an agent. And
that's
that agent got Matt Castle $28 million guaranteed.
Yes,
maybe his next job will be looking to
rework
Wes Welker's contract at some point.
Welker's your favorite player.
We mentioned the name Philip Rivers earlier as one of the quarterbacks who might get the benefits of these guaranteed money to non-quarterbacks like Suggs and the like. Did you hear about this Philip Rivers story? Brian in Baltimore writes in about it. Takes a shot at us, too. It says, hey, you two balls in a sack. What's this I hear about Philip Rivers getting beat in a quarterback competition by a high schooler? He sends us the link. It's a Yahoo story. And he continues, apparently at his own camp.
This is like the LeBron James story. He got dunked over at his own camp.
Apparently at Rivers' own camp, a high schooler outplayed Rivers. How embarrassing is that? I give him credit for not confiscating the tape like LeBron, as you mentioned, did when he got dunked on by a college player, but still. How should Charger fans feel about this debacle? Oh, and what kind of crazy rationalization would Fred give if this happened to Brady? Yeah, seriously.
He just wanted to make the kid feel good. He was, you know, prepping the kid up, making him feel better about himself.
You're damn Skippy.
I will watch that, though. How do you, I mean, it's a camp setting, so how do you get beat?
I don't know. I'm going to save that link.
Because it's not like you can, I mean, they could throw the ball accuracy. They could have.
Right.
But I think any quarterback
distance?
Could potentially lose that.
You know, like, I mean, he shouldn't lose
distance
to a
Brady
high schooler.
Could.
To a high
Tom
schooler?
Brady could lose to a high schooler.
Oh, come on. Brady can throw at least
physical
60
tools? I bet you when Jamarcus Russell was in high school, he could beat Tom Brady. Doesn't mean he's a better quarterback.
Maybe. Well, of course not.
Hell no.
So I think it can happen.
Hmm. Doc, do you see Josh from Arlington wrote in saying it was not raining in that Jets game?
It was also the day before that infamous Friday in November, so I may have blocked part of that day out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we won't revisit that. But anyway.
Josh, you're a loser.
Oh, yeah, you have a feud with him, don't you? He's the one that hates
really
you.
I don't remember why.
But he hates you.
But now really... I know that he's got a little wee-wee because he's got a pit bull.
Oh, wow. Why do you say that? You think it's overcompensating for things? Really?
The bigger the dog, the smaller the hog.
He does like to remind us.
I made that up on the fly.
On the fly?
Huh? Easy.
He does like to remind us that he was PFW Emailer of the Week or something like 5 years ago or whatever.
Well,
it is,
much like UMass's run to the Final Four, we've actually taken down that banner, and you no longer are in the archives as a Emailer of the Week.
Our show should make Cox bigger.
Fred has said a bad word a number of times on this broadcast.
Yeah, even when he's not here, he says bad words.
We never did that bit that I wanted to do with my son, Jason. Remember when I wanted to call my son?
Oh, yeah.
Because when I ask him what a rooster says, he says the bad word,
pauses
for
and then says,
a good second and a half, and then says the doodle-do.
You should have called me while you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe next Friday we could do that. I'll bring a recorder.
I don't know if he's up to it live. He'll say anything into a phone because he doesn't know who's listening.
Oh, we'll have to
Break him in, give him a beer.
The great debate just won't go away. Just won't go away. People still...
not because of us.
No, no.
We've
fans.
Stopped promoting it, talking
we
about
have,
it.
But
we've
fans
moved on.
Love it. A couple of them are upset with some of the reasoning that fans gave in the last show. You remember Craig Bunce, our guy from North Carolina, called in and said a real fan would go for the 19-0 side because. You know, it was more
Andy,
painful.
I
like
crap.
It when fans start saying what other fans have to do to be real fans and why they're not real fans.
Right.
It's good stuff.
So John in South Carolina, so we got a little border war there going on, says, I'm so sick of this. If you're a real Patriots fan, you then you'd want 19-0. What a load of crap. You could easily say if you are a real Patriot fan, you want to see the Patriots compete every year for the Super Bowl.
Like me.
I don't want the Pats to be great just this year or last year. I want to rule the league. I want the Jets to think... crap, we have to go play the Pats. You keep saying if Brady leaves, it does not mean we will not be great. But if Brady leaves, does Belichick stick around?
It's a legitimate argument question.
That's a very good question. Brady leaving would make it tougher to get free agents, certainly. Do you think we would have Moss without Brady?
No.
No. He said one of the main reasons he came here was
to play with
Tom Brady. Tommy, as he calls him, yeah. John continues, what are the odds we get another franchise quarterback? I remember the years after Grogan and before Drew. Yes, he was our franchise at one time, Andy. And I will do anything to avoid those years. Yes, it was not long ago, but God, it was awful. I like tuning in on game. I like turning on the game and looking forward to a chance to win. I cheered through a one-win season, and it was tough. I love my Patriots. North Carolina is only 2 hours away, so Craig better watch his mouth before I drop some Patriot cheer on it.
Oh, no. That's not good.
Just kidding, he says. Just kidding.
That was a great email, John. I agree with you.
Some hatred there, though. A little border war action.
Well, it is funny. I love when other fans try to tell each other what you have to do to be a real fan.
Mm-hmm.
Wear a jersey, don't wear a jersey. Barbecue, don't barbecue. Real fans watch a game in silence, or real fans have a big party. Each his own.
Reed from the Cape is also upset with the Craig Bunces of the world. It says, hey, guys, and Eric. That's just Andy today.
Still funny.
See, Reed, I didn't have to read that, but I did anyway, so you're welcome. I'm writing in because of something said by Craig on Tuesday. He said that true fans are on Fred and Eric's side of the great debate, and they took losing the Super Bowl the hardest. I say BS to that notion. Losing Super Bowl 42 felt like getting punched in the gut nonstop. Craig, did you throw up after the game? Because I did. I couldn't watch ESPN or NFL Network, and I was only able to turn them back on for the draft. Hell, I even read a couple of books instead of watching TV. But I wouldn't trade the 07 season in for anything except Bar Raffaele or Keira Knightley, my choices for hottest women in the world. Keira Knightley's got no chest. She doesn't rank up there.
On PFWinProgress.com, she does. That doctored photo?
Yeah, it's a doctored
photo.
If
she looked like that?
Then you'd have an argument. Absolutely. I agree.
I'd also have a tent.
Oh,
like boobs.
Yes.
The ride of the 07, The ride of the 07 season, Reed continues, provided me with some incredible highs, and 10 more years of Brady would only continue that. I like knowing that every Sunday I have a damn good chance to win. And Eric, don't say we don't know if Brady would be effective for 10 more years or if he'll get hurt or not, because this is a fantasy world debate, so Brady is presumed healthy for the 10 years.
Eric actually doesn't even think Brady will be healthy this year, therefore he's
I didn't
saying
say that.
Maybe we shouldn't re-sign him.
I didn't say that.
I'm kind of paraphrasing. I have another great debate. Great debate part two. And I'm going to bring it up right now, despite the fact that you apparently have a phone call.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We can do that, too. hang
where
you are.
We're going to be doing this over the next few weeks. I think everybody will be doing it in the month of August. But how much do you want to see Tom Brady this August?
As far as in preseason games,
preseason
you mean?
Action.
No more than he normally would, I would say.
Which was none.
No. Yeah, last year. Normally, he would play, you know, a series or two in the first game. A little bit more in the second game.
Do you want to see that, though?
Yeah. I want to see it.
Do you want to see him
I want to
any
see
less
him
than you normally would?
No. I want this to be as normal a return to the field for him as possible. I want it to, because if that happens, that tells me that the knee is not a problem. Because he's getting the same amount of reps he normally would if this were 07 or 06 or any other year that he wasn't injured.
But when he was coming back from just the ankle issue, he didn't play at all.
But maybe he needed that extra time. I'm saying if he doesn't, that tells me by the fact that he's playing in his normal preseason reps that he's fine.
The way I look at it, basically, if it's to me, it's either all or nothing. If you're going to put him on the field at all in the preseason, then play him, as you said, sort of normal. A couple series first, you know, work towards it, skip the last game like they always do, mm-hmm. play three quarters in the third, whatever. I don't think you need to adjust the reps because if you put him on the field for even a single play, he could get hurt. It could be do damage. So I think it's kind of an all or nothing. Either go back to whatever you would normally do, like you said, or I'd also have no problem if they said, we're not doing it. He's good enough. Welker and Moss, there's enough continuity on offense. He's going to be ready to go. We're not risking it. We're putting him in the opener in September, and that's it.
Yeah.
I think those are your two decisions. I don't think you try to pare back any reps in preseason. I think it's one or the other.
Yeah. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't play a rep this preseason.
I would, too.
Be very surprised.
But you never know. I've been surprised before.
All right. We've read two emails against him, and here to defend himself is the aforementioned Craig in North Carolina.
Hey, what's shaking, fellas?
The usual.
People shaking their fists at you. They are not happy with you.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, you can play back the tape. I know what I said, and just like you were paraphrasing Eric a few minutes ago, that's what people did with what I said. What I said is that those folks that are diehard Patriots fans probably make up the larger portion of those that voted for the 19-0. And I said, more than likely, those of us who were in absolute agony following that game, much like John, you know, I didn't want to watch a freaking thing that had anything to do with football for months. I didn't put it on ESPN. I didn't listen to anything. I didn't go online.
You didn't come talk to us. Yeah, you left us for a
year. Sports at all. I did not state any parameters under which a person would qualify as a diehard Patriots fan. Okay? Just to clarify. Because I know some people, you know, like to twist other people's words, Andy.
Eric. Now, Andy is right.
Do what?
What's that?
What no, happened? I thought somebody said something.
No. Hey, but Craig, do you know a guy named Mike in Charlotte?
Can't say that I do.
Well, he's offering to referee.
It's a big city.
He's offering to referee between you and John in South Carolina if you guys want to get it on, he said.
Well, I think, you know, the number of people that, you know, like Patriots fans, you know, fighting amongst each other is few and far between. They're a rare breed. They usually have very large craniums.
Hey.
So, personally, I love Patriots fans. You know, I mean, they're rooting for the right team. They
true
back
Patriots
the team.
Fans.
And they contribute. I mean, you go to pretty much any football website and Patriots fans are chiming in. And it's usually in defense of, you know, a lot of folks with bad memories.
Wow. Talking about me again? Yeah, he might be.
No, you know, if like you go to NFL.com, if there's an article about anything, the best coaches or whatever, you end up with a bunch of Pittsburgh knuckleheads chiming in about, you know, oh, the Patriots are a bunch of cheaters,
right,
and they couldn't win this without that. And that,
Belichick.
You know, I'm like, give me a freaking break.
Yeah.
And they talk about Big Ben like he's better than Brady. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? So I kind of have to beat those guys down, but I got nothing against other Patriots fans.
So you're wussing out, basically, right? You're afraid
what?
Of John? You're wussing out, you're afraid of John? Is that just, I'll just summarize.
I'm not afraid of anybody.
Paraphrase.
You be careful, Jack. I'll be climbing through this phone.
Now that's a fight I'd like to see. That is a fight I would like to see.
Hey, you know, you guys have seen me. I'm not a big guy, but,
you
know.
We got your picture hanging up in the studio, Craig.
That's the thing about you, Andy. You might think, you know, you can kick my butt, but let me tell you something. It ain't going to be half as much fun.
Now you got to fight the doctor because
right.
He just blew your ass up.
And he will easily take the doctor.
Oh, yeah. The doctor's a pansy.
Especially now that doctor
loses a pound a day.
Doctor slimmed down. You lost, like, what, 40 pounds?
Why are you going on the divorce?
30.
I mean, the two-gender plan. Trying to look like you're a cancer patient and get down to like 12 pounds?
No, I'm just trying to lower my cholesterol and all
that
bad stuff
that I had.
A lot of no fun people in this studio. Eric doesn't order lunch anymore because he's got high cholesterol.
I'm just
you're trying
spacing
to lower your
it
cholesterol.
Out. That's all. I will be ordering lunch. Don't you worry about it.
Paul, you look at Paul. He doesn't worry about his health. He'll be dead in 5 years, but he's going to have a good time until he gets there.
I'm doing
Fred,
fine.
The same
don't
thing.
Don't worry about well,
I give him 3.5.
Yeah. Josh in Arlington, not happy with you, big surprise, says, you made the comment about pit bulls and small things. He said, pit bulls are not big dogs, Dip.
I know.
Wit. He didn't say wit. It rhymes
but
with
they
it.
Are big. You look at them. The way they're built,
he
they're
says
built
they're,
like a...
They're medium size, about 40 to 50 pounds. Keep showing your ignorance, Andy. Why change after all these years?
They're not big in terms of huge size, but they're built like a... What's the old saying? Poop brick house?
No.
A brick poop house. they look like badasses when they're coming along, and
of course,
they are badasses.
They are.
So,
especially if they get trained in
right.
bad households.
And generally, people that have small wee-wees buy them.
You're saying Michael Vick is...
Probably.
You think?
I don't know. You're the expert in that area. you get confirmation on those things.
LT from...
Would you like to confirm that one?
LT from Australia. Hello to the big head and the prince. On the concert issue, I live in Adelaide, which is a smaller city in Australia. And hence, bands seem to bypass us whenever they tour. I'd love to have the access to watch some of my favorite bands live. I mean, it's funny because every time a big band comes to Australia, there seems to be a petition that we have to fill out just to get the bands to come here. The funniest one of late has been the fact that as part of Australia, we had to petition AC/DC, an Australian band, to play in Adelaide, so it's such a pain every time. Having said that, I've been to many concerts over the years, sometimes interstate, and have yet to be disappointed by live shows. Onto a football-related topic, because this show has been filled with football goodness. I have a few questions that I'd like to know the answer to. Who would win?
When I was 16!
Oh! Who would win in a fist fight slash wrestling slash boxing match
Andy.
Between?
Andy.
There's several of them. The one, Vince Wilfork and Richard Seymour.
I take Wilfork. Bet you he fights dirty.
I'm going to go with Seymour.
I'll take Wilfork. Let's
okay.
set it up.
All right.
We could get that on pay-per-view.
All right. Oh, this is this next one, please. No
Andy.
Contest. Gerard Mayo and Teddy Bruschi.
Gerard Mayo.
Yeah. Three, Logan Mankins, Stephen Neal. I'm going to go with Neal.
No way. Too nice.
Dirty wrestler.
Too nice.
Different guy on the mat.
Too oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Neal.
You're taking Matt involved. I mean, Logan Mankins will pull out a shotgun and blow his head off.
Yeah, but you think just because a nice guy is a nice guy, when it's time to fight, he's a mean
no
SOB.
Chance. He's a competitive athlete.
Yes.
Logan Mankins will fight dirty. He'll kill him.
That's all right. Well, I'd like to
Sorry,
see that
Steve.
Too.
It's okay. You're a nice man, and
this one,
take pride in that.
I don't understand this one either. Wes Welker and Randy Moss. That's a mismatch if ever I heard one.
I don't know.
You think
I don't
maybe
know.
The little guy, the little wiry, is going to run around, make him try to
and
catch
him? And that long reach sometimes is slow punches from Randy Moss. He's long and a lot of joint. I don't know about that.
I'll go with Moss.
I'll take Welker.
Okay. Brady?
Although I think that could be a fight where both are kind of embarrassed if they watch the video later. They look like chicks fighting.
So they might just bow out, call it a draw?
Yeah.
Do like the Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed thing and just fall down? Number five, Brady and Manning. Peyton, that is.
Brady.
Yeah, I take Brady, too. Peyton's the nice guy one who would try to fight fair. I could see Peyton.
Wow, are you saying that Brady's dirty?
I'm saying he would if
you
he had
said
to be.
Brady's dirty.
I think he would be. I picture Peyton.
Plus security, would you shoot Manning?
I picture Manning coming in like those 19th century boxers with like the arms rolled up pants and putting his
the ropes were actually ropes
right,
and everything.
Exactly.
I think Brady would kill him.
Oh my God, this is a good one. Tacoma, two gender, and the doc. So is that a
three way
like a cage match or is that like 2-on-1?
I'd kill them both.
Ooh.
Well, 2-on-1, they'd kill you, and then they do the crab thing where the little crabs in the bucket kill the big crab, and then they fight.
Two genders like a twig.
Yeah, but there's
yeah,
two.
But you've lost 40 pounds.
Whenever there's two, you're in trouble. Unless you're freaking Steven Seagal or Van Damme or something.
And don't underestimate Tomash because he's got some pent up anger about not having run the board.
You
he's
going to
be taking that
judge.
Out on you, my friend.
I take Tomash no matter what.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I do too. I do too.
Two genders last. If it's like an actual two genders, a punani.
Yeah. And then the last one.
Drives his wife's car to work every day. Have you ever seen that thing?
He's like, I don't know what you mean.
Two gender.
The last one is the whole PFW crew, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. Well, you could headbutt everybody, and that would be the end of it.
Or you
Paul, help. Well, here's the thing. Your strategy would
be
headbutt.
Broken fists after you all punched me in the head, and I'd still be standing.
I wouldn't be punching you in the head.
That's typical. As always, Eric goes for the nuts.
Now, here's a go. You'd be... I'd Rochambeau you for it.
I don't know what that means.
It was a South Park thing.
Oh.
When Cartman goes and kicks the kid in the nuts.
Very funny, you guys.
He's going to have a fight with some kid, and he goes... They're arguing, and he goes, all right, I'll Rochambeau you for it. And the kid goes, what does that mean? And he goes, well, I kick you in the nuts as hard as I can. Then you kick me in the nuts as hard as you can, and whoever's left standing wins. I'll go first. Okay. And he kicks the kid in the nuts, and he falls down, and he's like, okay, I win.
That's kind of funny.
That was a great impression.
Thank you. So that's what I would do to you. I'd Rochambeau you. You would try to headbutt. Paul would just sit on us.
Get in my belly.
And Fred would forget to show up because he had a meeting.
Fred would have a gadget.
So
it would
be like rock, paper, scissors.
Him.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He'd get the gutter cleaner thing
right,
to fight
for him.
And
be going flap, flapping its hands at us.
LT signs off. Listening to the show live for the first time. Well, good for you. I'm actually still up doing work, so please keep up the tomfoolery and joke making. Andy, make up for the fearless leader. LT
you know
from Adelaide.
Concert that I believe does play in Australia because they are from Australia and I believe the richest people in Australia.
Men at Work?
Nope. More modern.
I don't know. Oh.
I'm going by a report I saw that said they were the richest people in Australia. They cater to children.
Oh, the Wiggles?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
I saw a report that they were the richest people
in Australia. I
think
they are from Australia.
Or at the very least, the richest entertainers in Australia.
Well, because, the Irwin family has to be pretty well off.
But the Wiggles, I mean.
Are they really that big?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
worldwide?
Stuff? Live shows, all the toys, the TV. Yeah, they're loaded. Hmm. Concerts. And not in any way enjoyable if you're a parent. Thankfully, my son doesn't really watch it. Okay, next one.
Tomash chimed in, says, are you serious? I'm bigger than both of them combined. I would destroy them both at once.
Not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about
right,
the fight and the dog. And if you have a big dog. just disregard him. Because he's useless. In a fight, in work, whatever. He's useless.
Oh, God.
He'll drive off in his wife's car.
Two gender writes in, losers. Doctor's way over the hill. He's far removed from being able to fight. Tacoma would be tough. He's too nice to beat anyone up, though.
Wow, is this
two gender talking trash.
I'll take two gender's wife in that fight. Plus, when she
I don't
wins,
know what you mean.
And she can drive home in her own car because it's already here.
Oh, God.
And the show is reaching all-time low because we're just bickering amongst staff.
Yeah, no, staff
well,
is emailing
what happens
in.
When Eric hosts.
I got to read this from TG and Joyzy because he's actually being nice to me for once. His subject line is, hey, Squidward.
Squidward.
Nice work on that high school memories article on the team's website. I was really interested by Adalis Thomas's input. Yeah, he was not happy. He was a mean guy. Do you guys think that high school football could ever become bigger in New England? Are the Crafts and the Patriots doing anything to promote and support high school football in New England? Sure, they do.
They host the Super Bowls. They have the high school section in the
Hall at Patriot Place. They have New England football. It's newenglandfootball.com, right? Is an ever-growing site. They're doing some stuff with UCastR on the web where
UCaster.
Where schools will be able to broadcast their games through UCaster and post it on the web. There's as active as anyone in high school football promotion.
High school football combine here a couple
of high school football
combine.
That's
another good one. Yep.
A Fred Kirsch production.
Through their,
in which they don't do the vertical jump.
But through the Patriots Charitable Foundation, they also supply, or they have in the past supplied football equipment to youth leagues.
And
you know,
I do believe
school,
it'll be bigger.
But youth league and development.
Just getting it back here. It used to be, you know, late 80s, early 90s, the Super Bowls were at Foxborough Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Then they all dispersed. They're back here.
Yep.
That's a great step. The Crafts have been
huge
very
draw.
Active in using whatever it is, Channel 38 and Comcast,
yeah, I think so.
Getting the games on TV, the production, Kraft Sports, the studios, Tangway, as we talked about earlier, was involved. They've been very, very, very active in helping and working with the MIAA to promote football, and I think it will definitely take off, and it's helped that you'd had a great team like Dartmouth in involved recently.
But
they didn't win, but
it is what I've always been fascinated
kind of like
by that though.
Patriots.
The regionality of high school football popularity, you know, down south, obviously huge, and then you know in states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, California, obviously Texas, but in New
Jersey
England,
even
even to some extent, but it's never really high school sports in general aren't really huge in this area.
It goes in waves. The football thing, I think part of it is the Thanksgiving game traditions, and that kind of hurts them in terms of they've been trying to work around that to build playoff formats and Super Bowls without going too late into the year, cutting into the basketball season because it already does infringe upon the next season.
Yep.
So I think that's been part of it. I don't know all the reasons why it's played out that way, but it's never going to be like it is in Pennsylvania, like it is in Texas. It's just never going to be.
So.
But
not,
I think it's
here.
Growing. I think it is getting better. Popularity is gaining, but you're never going to see those 20,000 seat stadiums with you know all the get up that they have down in Texas.
20, 40, like some high school kids play in you know before bigger crowds than they do at the college level sometimes.
But it is growing. It is, and the Crafts are a big factor in that.
I think part of the reason too that the popularity might be growing at least around here is I think you're seeing more and more that because pro sports has become what it is and college sports is you know obviously very very much the proving ground for the NFL that more and more high school or parents want their high school age kids to train for one sport instead of being all sports stars. They want them to focus on one thing. They want to hire, you know, trainers and nutritionists and they have the high school combine like Doc mentioned earlier. Those kind of things didn't exist before. So now it's seen more as, hey, let's get this kid ready early.
Right.
It's almost like the Todd Marinovich thing, only not to that extreme, but parents are starting to say, oh, my kid can be my cash cow.
My buddy, well, I don't know if it's just that. I think sometimes they just want to do it for the kid. I think there are parents who legitimately know their kid likes a sport and want to give them the best of everything they can to allow them to succeed and go as far as they can in that sport. I don't think it's always just about living vicariously or trying to cash in. But my buddy Matt Chandler, who actually listens
who
to the show,
runs
a performance center. That's what he basically focuses on, is getting all sports, all athletes trained in the things they need to succeed. He actually plays our show in the gym, so he could very well be listening right now.
And all the guys working out, listening to the show.
Send us a name. We'll put him on the map. If someone's working out, email it in, Matt. And we'll promote that guy
exactly.
as today's PFW Star High School Athlete of the Week.
And
I made it up on the fly. Do we have a sponsor?
TG also wants to know, we talked about the radio station earlier, so are the PFW crew going to get a show on the new Hub of Sports?
I've been telling Fred Kirsch, PFW in Progress needs to be on the flagship station of the game broadcast. We need to get a show. Even if it's 2 a.m. in the morning, we need to be on.
2 a.m. in the morning?
Shut up.
Well, you don't like it when you're wrong, do you? TG also says Fred would...
It wasn't really wrong there.
Yeah,
2 a.m. in the morning? Well, he's redundant. Yeah,
it's not wrong. It's
no.
not like saying when you go to the beach alone, bring a friend.
Right. And speaking of Fred, TG says Fred would kick all our asses. In the Fight Club debate, Fred would take
any
of you guys easily.
No chance.
Because he's crazy. That's
no chance.
That's TG's.
Because he might kill one of us because he's crazy, but he doesn't have the gas, the stamina. I've played tennis with the man. He's got nothing.
Baloney.
he would definitely shut up.
Well, he would say he beat you in three sports.
Right, of course. He nearly died. We almost had to bring out the paddles.
You're damn Skippy.
That, see, he agrees with me.
All right, well, it's 125, and it's time for that 125 break. We'll be right back.
This is NFL and Patriot Hall of Famer Andre Tippett inviting you to join me at the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon for the next installment of the Hall Speaker Series on Friday, July 24th at 6:30 p.m. This is your chance to spend an evening with me, ask questions about my career, and get an autograph. Tickets are on sale now and are just $25 and include your admission to the Hall. Get yours now by calling 866-995-2456 or buy online at the Hall at patriotplace.com. And I'll see you on July 24th at the Hall.
David Beckham is back. Saturday, August 8th at 6 p.m. is your chance to see soccer icon David Beckham at Gillette Stadium. Be there as the international superstar and the Los Angeles Galaxy come to New England to take on the Revolution for the only time this year. Don't miss out on this exclusive chance to see the phenomenon that is David Beckham. Be a part of the madness and cheer on the Revs as they look to beat L.A. This is the most star-studded event in New England this summer, and this is your chance to see it live. Limited quantities of tickets are on sale now and start at just $20. Get yours now by calling the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or by logging on to revolutionsoccer.net. David Beckham, an international celebrity and one of the world's greatest soccer stars. This is your one and only chance to see him in New England. Don't get shut out. Get your tickets now.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy. And the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs. And their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
In a summer filled with concerts, one band will light the sky like no other.
For the first time ever outdoors in New England, Gillette Stadium proudly welcomes AC/DC. Live in concert, July 28th. AC/DC.
Dirty Deeds and the Thunder Chiefs.
July 28th, Gillette Stadium. Tickets are on sale now for AC/DC at Ticketmaster.com, the Gillette Stadium box office, or 1-800-745-3000. The one concert you cannot miss. AC/DC at Gillette Stadium. Presented by Live Nation.
And now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Well, there's two times to judge a schedule. Beginning of the season and at the end of the season. Judging your schedule at the end of the season always comes out more accurate because now you know how good these teams actually were.
And this is the guy who's expert indispensable.
Animal. That was a fun fact from Fred Kirsch.
Ooh, Eric pulled a Fred and didn't put his mic on.
I did have my mic on.
Oh.
You went before I cued you.
Jason pulled a Fred and didn't put Eric's mic on.
Andy, it's been a while since you've read an Urban Dictionary word.
We've done that word.
We have? You sure? All right. Okay, then. Forget about it.
Is it the Gaylord Perry?
No.
That's Gaylord Perry.
It's Harry Houdini. Don't know what it means, but...
Does it involve hiding something somewhere?
Where do you hide it? But he's using it in a sentence with the two of us. It's Alex from Doesn't Say Where.
From Doesn't Say Where.
Andy and Eric are fond of Harry Houdini's. I don't know what
that
means.
Sentences like that. You can't even.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. On to football, and to put another log in the fire, does the ring argument also apply when judging great coaches? I want you to debate Bud Grant, Marv Levy, and Marty Schottenheimer.
Certainly the ring argument, more so for me, with coaches.
The ring argument, in case anybody doesn't remember, the other day we were...
How much, you know, winning a championship, how and how much winning a championship affects your legend, your status.
Your legendary status or Hall
Marino,
of Fame status.
Montana, Elway, before rings, after rings,
yep.
That whole thing.
For
coaches, interesting.
See, Levy and Grant made the Super Bowl several times. Mm-hmm. Schottenheimer's problem was that he could never make the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I don't fault Levy and Grant because, yeah, I don't know. The fact that you got your teams to four Super Bowls means you're a good coach, in my
and
mind.
And part of it with the Bills dominated a weaker conference and then ran into a buzzsaw
right.
of another conference, basically. Mm-hmm. They were so much better.
Except in that Giants Super Bowl.
Right. Whereas I don't Bud Grant, I don't really know all that much. I know he was with the Vikings, right?
He took them to their four Super Bowls.
They're all lesser coaches. Yes, I put more of an emphasis on coaches for the rings than I do for players because a player can only do his part. Even if he makes others better, he can only do it to any degree. A coach oversees and decides absolutely everything. So he can make, theoretically, all 22 starters better. He can make better decisions in motivation, better decisions in game planning, better play. I just think he has such a greater overall impact on the game, on a global level, so to speak, that he can, I think coaches, it's the championships is what it's all about.
This does make me think of something, though. Let's say Belichick brought the Patriots to every Super Bowl that he has brought them to this
he
decade.
Has. Okay.
But didn't win any of them.
Yep.
How would his status be affected
far
by that?
He'd be thought of on a far lower level. None of these Vince Lombardi level comparisons.
Well, sure, because Vince won them. But
he would be down with guys that got
like
there
Levy
and
didn't Grant.
Win. Yeah.
Better than Schottenheimer.
Yeah, because Schottenheimer hasn't gone to a number of Super Bowls and lost. He's
right.
lost at an earlier point to the point where people say he can't win in the postseason.
Right.
That he's, I mean, what is it, like 15 years?
Yeah.
It was like 92 or
yeah,
something when he last
ridiculous.
Won in the postseason. So
So he'd probably be like Bud Grant. Or
yeah.
Levy.
He'd
be considered
he'd
like
be
a good
one
coach.
Of those guys. He couldn't close it.
But, yeah.
So I think it's far more of an indicator and a fair assessment tool. Championship. Now, you get into the whole thing of guys like Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Who some believe kind of cherry-picked, you know, got lucky the first time around with Jordan and then waited for the right opportunity with the Lakers and kind of...
Twice waited for the right opportunity with the Lakers.
So it can be a little misleading, I think, when Barry Switzer is not a great coach.
God, no.
But he has a ring. So it's not the be-all, end-all.
Of course.
It's a big part of the equation.
Right.
Marty Schottenheimer, I think, is a very good football coach. I think what he does leads to winning. He just hasn't finished.
He just can't close.
If he had two Super Bowl rings,
he'd be
I think Marty Schottenheimer would be thought of one of the greatest coaches of the generation. I think some guys get overrated because of Super Bowls. I think Joe Gibbs is overrated. He did a very good job. He did a lot of things. But some stories I've heard about Joe Gibbs and some things I've heard... And he clearly tarnished his image a little bit by coming back on some level.
Yep.
I think he's a little overrated because he won three Super Bowls with three quarterbacks.
That's what I think is helping him more, too. Not just the
and
fact that he has the three Super Bowls, but it was with
but
different quarterbacks.
But I think he's a little overrated.
And I think that's one of the reasons
but
why.
But, I mean, he has three Super Bowls with three quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick has won three Super Bowls with Tom Brady, arguably one of the top five quarterbacks of all times. Who is a better coach? I go
Belichick.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
But I think you can make a strong argument for Joe Gibbs.
Right, because he did it under different circumstances.
Right.
With different players. And
so it's for coaches, it's a huge part of the equation.
I don't think I could ever see Belichick, though, taking 15 years off and then coming back again like Gibbs did.
No.
I think when he
quits. I
don't
think Gibbs could. I think Gibbs needed the money or something. I don't know what's going on there.
He had the racing thing going on forever. I don't.
Yeah,
don't
maybe
think
he needed the money for the racing thing.
Mm.
I don't think that racing thing is as lucrative as they try to make it out to be.
For some people, maybe, but I think it's a tough business.
I thought he did pretty well, though. I don't follow NASCAR.
Racing. Oh, yeah, he does.
So I thought, I mean.
But he might have needed the money. Or maybe he needed the money on a personal level.
I
have no idea. I think it was just an offer he couldn't refuse, money-wise.
The fan-on-fan crime continues. John in Dallas, not to be confused with John in South Carolina, who was pissed at Craig. John in Dallas says, Craig, a true Patriots fan? Can a person be a true Patriots fan if they have not been brought up and lived in New England?
Yes.
What I want to know is how long Craig has been following the Patriots, and has he been with us through the bad, the good, bad, then good times? He sounds like he's on... he is one barnyard away from squeal like a pig. John in Dallas.
Craig's starting to take a little bit of a beating from all Johns. Johns are not happy with Craig.
I don't know why, but strippers, super fan or true, he's going to
strippers, I'll be emailing you later, by the way.
Oh, yeah, you got a thing coming up, don't you?
Yes, I got to finalize plans for an engagement where... Mm-hmm. Strippers could be involved.
Mm-hmm. This kind of scares me. This is strippers. This kind of scares me. I have no plans to go to any Pats games this year, yet I am paying over $600 for two tickets, row 7, 40-yard line, for Oklahoma at Miami. Does my love of OU border on psychotic or super true fan?
Super true fan. I mean, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I mean, if that's your team and you want to see them and you want to go to a game and... It's a good team, like Oklahoma has been. You're going to have to pay some money for those kind of seats.
And
row
I think
7?
The college experience of seeing a college game is better than the pro experience. The passion, the tailgate, the atmosphere
I think you're right.
is surpasses the pro level. So to get into that, you got to pay.
Now, if he had said $600 for row 29, section 307, I might say...
But even that, if you want to get to your one game a year or whatever, you got to do what you got to do.
I suppose.
Experience it.
I suppose.
Bet you there's a lot of hot girls there, too.
And colleges? Oklahoma?
Oklahoma I don't think of as necessarily a...
Farmer's daughters types. Yeah, come on. They raise them well out there. You know what I'm saying?
They wear overalls?
Well, they grow them big out there. Isn't that the saying? Or is that Iowa?
What's
Cornhusker?
Because is like the overall girl. If she's like 6'8", weighs 300.
No, the waist up.
Ah, top heavy.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying?
I like them big.
Nathan in Southern California. Hey, guys. Being the dead season, as Paul likes to call it, I thought it would be fun to list the five teams that you hate the most, then compare them to the top five teams that Bill Belichick hates the most. Give your reasons, as Bill may dislike those teams. You can choose why you hate each team for whatever reason you want. Example, personal vendetta against players, coaches, or if they are a tough matchup for us.
Broncos, I hate them.
Hold on a second. Nathan's hate list goes 5-1. Ravens, Jets, Dolphins, Steelers, and his most hated team, the Giants. I think for obvious reasons.
I would go. I can't go in reverse order, so I'll give you one first.
Okay.
Broncos.
You really hate the Broncos hate that the Broncos. Much?
Because I cried. You remember, I cried. 1986 crushed me. Little, very impressionable.
Very little young Andy
Hart.
Well,
not very little, but I was impressionable. Pudgy. Shaped a lot like Paul Perillo is these days. Broncos would be one on my list. I don't hate a lot of teams.
I don't either. Not anymore. When I was younger, I hated.
Plus, it changes, and you know, year to year, you have different. Like the Ravens. I hated Brian Billick. I don't like him as a coach. I think he's the Eric Scalavino of coaches.
Hey.
Very pompous in a titular sense. But Jim Harbaugh, I kind of like. Joe Flacco, I kind of like.
Yeah.
So to me, they're transitioning into a likable team.
Ray Lewis?
Don't like. Okay. But that's my point. Like when Billick and Lewis were there, Siragusa, I didn't like him.
Yeah,
I think
like
they were
either.
Very hateable. I don't think they're all that hateable anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guys on that team I kind of like. The Steelers, I don't hate. I just... flat out respect them. I think they're a great organization. They've just been too consistent, too good.
I don't like the Steelers. I don't know if I'd put them at number one, but I don't. They'd be top five.
I think they got more likable.
Oh yeah, I like Colbert. He's a good front office guy.
Mendenhall is ridiculous. He's going.
Roethlisberger, as we know, overrated.
Is great. So my
head coach overrated.
I don't like the Giants. I think they're very. Mendenhall is ridiculous. Here and he's
I don't know if I
offseason.
Hate the Giants. I wasn't a fan of Michael Strahan and his whole act. He
don't
got
like
very
Strahan.
Tired after a while.
I hate Eli Manning. I don't really care for Tom Coughlin.
Yeah. You know, the Giants are kind of... You make
plus,
a good point about the Giants.
They ruined the historic season.
They did. And I'm sure that's why Nathan put them number one on his list. I used to hate the 49ers back when they were winning all the time.
Because they were good. That's why the people hate the Patriots.
Yeah. But again, this is when I was younger and I cared more about, you know, team rivalries. Nowadays, you know, it's not as, to me, I don't think it's as important as it was when I was younger.
I just have the one. The Broncos I hate. Everybody else comes and goes.
The Jets?
I dislike. I don't hate the Jets.
Rex Ryan and his big mouth?
I don't hate Rex Ryan. I got no problem with Rex Ryan. I wouldn't want him doing it if I were a player or necessarily if I was a fan, but...
What if you were the Jets owner?
Like Fred Kirsch, I'll let you know in December.
Okay.
Because if it works, I'm okay with it. He's
better
the coach.
To judge your coach's words after the season.
I pay him if this is what he thinks is the best plan to move forward and succeed, then I'm okay with it. If it fails, mm-hmm. it's his job. I mean, he's putting himself on the line in New York.
It's so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Who do you think Bill hates? The Jets.
Oh, yes. Number one. He hates
1 through 5.
From 5 is Jets.
Because he can't even hate the Ravens anymore because Art Modell's not
and maybe Cleveland.
Even the owner. But I don't think he hates Cleveland. No. I think he hated Art Modell. I think he had some issues with Modell in that situation.
Yeah.
But I think he respects Browns fans. I mean,
I'm excited to be a head coach.
He may or may not hate Mangini. I'm not sure on that. I think he hates the Jets. I don't think he hates anyone else.
What about the Chargers?
Oh, give me a break.
I don't necessarily mean for Bill, but just
that's a dumb
in general.
LT, I don't hate the Chargers. No.
Rivers is kind of pouty and...
I think they're unlikable, but not
Sean Merriman,
hateable.
Jerk-ish.
They're unlikable, but they're not hateable.
So there's a fine line for you between unlikable and hateable.
Yeah, and unlikable is transient. Is that how you say it? Transient? It moves.
Transigent?
I don't know. There's no G.
Is that who you're looking for?
No. I think it's just transient. T-R-A-N-S-I-E-N-T.
Transient?
Yeah, that. Don't add a G. There's no G in there. Harry Houdini. What was the sentence that we were in the Harry Houdini?
Something
like...
Because
it's okay. It's not gay.
Andy and Eric enjoy or Harry Houdini's or something like that?
That's okay. It's just about us, you know, tag teaming, so to speak.
Sort of.
In a very heterosexual way, right?
I see.
Yes. Don't give me that look. Like you're disgusted.
And you're not talking about like a wrestling match. Well, maybe you could be a sort of a wrestling match. Maybe.
Sure.
That type of wrestling?
Nude wrestling.
Yeah.
All right, read an email. All
right.
In trouble.
Brian in Santa Cruz. Andy, do you place no value? He's going back to the concert argument. Do you place no value on the amount of talent it takes to play an instrument live? In the studio is one thing. You can stop every time you make a mistake and touch up the sound with effects and equalizers. But live music is a one-shot deal. You'd probably have more respect for live performers if you tried playing an instrument in front of a crowd. He's played his instrument in front of a crowd before. Of just 20 people, let alone...
rave reviews, baby.
Let alone the thousands that big-name acts play in front of. It not only takes immense stones, but ridiculous skill to play live and sound good. Go Pats. That's Brian, Santa Cruz.
I agree with that. But I just don't get the bang. I feel like you get your bang for your buck out of it. I think part of the reason I really like sports is, we talked about this a little bit, the unscripted, that you can see history at any single moment in sports. I just don't feel like if you see your 7th Dave Matthews Band concert of the summer, you're really seeing history.
Well, I'm not necessarily big on going to see the same act
but even
over
if
and
you
over.
See Dave Matthews Band, whatever, There's rarely history made at a concert. You know, a lot of times, like, MTV Music Awards will try to bring, you know, they did Elton John and Eminem.
Yeah.
Bring, you know, weird mixes together where they sing each other's song, whatever. And I think this is an event here at Gillette Stadium this weekend. I think,
sure.
Even though they've done it before, I think Elton John and Billy Joel together, it's not just them in concert.
It's two headliners.
Yeah,
and they're
going to
perform at the same
everything.
Time. Right.
I think that's, to some degree, an event. And if you go, it could be the worst Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, Bruins game of the year. You have the chance to see history. And I think that is part of my attraction. It's almost like winning the lottery. You were lucky enough to be there for X, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You may have a tale to tell. And I just really don't feel like music, for me personally, and I know some people get like amped up over the set list and the order they played the songs, and they played that random song that they never play. It's a B-side single, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. I don't give a rat's katukas.
If you liked the song, you would, though. if you really liked the song and they never played it, and then all of a sudden you were at a concert and they decide that they're going to play it, you would remember that. That would be, for you, that would be historic. Come on.
I just don't get it. Total side, I was talking about the lottery and the chances. TD Bank North Garden today, which has changed
officially to the Boston Garden.
Of noon, at noon is now the TD Garden.
Oh,
which
right,
I thought,
TD,
why would they name
a TD
football
Bank,
stadium?
Right?
Wouldn't TD Field be cooler?
Than
have the Patriots at, well sorry, Gillette.
Yeah, again.
But I mean, to, if you're a football stadium,
sure,
and great offense, mm-hmm, and another TD,
welcome
TD.
Welcome to the TD. Well, you can say, welcome to the end zone.
Right. And but today they had a promotion because at noon it was officially changing.
Uh-huh.
And they were giving away 19,600 candy bars that said TD North, TD Garden on them. And they were doing the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory thing. Five of them had golden tickets in it.
Yeah.
And the grand prize golden ticket, one out of a 19,000 chance, and you just had to show up, they were handing them out, was a ticket to every single event at the Garden for the next year.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Because that's Celtics, that's Bruins, that's
concerts,
that's college, that's, you know, WWE, that's...
They don't have NCAA this year, do they?
I don't think
Boston?
So.
That would be...
But it's still pretty freaking cool to have 41 Bruins games, 41 Celtics games, you know, five concerts.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty cool, just to show up.
Ooh.
Yeah. Probably could have told people before noon. But.
Well, we couldn't because we weren't on before noon.
Did anybody win who's listening?
Yeah, let us know and take us to some of these events. Dave, in the Philippines, this is unprecedented, I think. We're going to go back to a caller in the same show.
In Philippines?
Yeah.
Not just in
Not just at all, but
not
in
Mike
the
and Sharon, but
right,
we're going to the Philippines for the second time.
Right.
Dave? Thank you. Is this Skype?
Yeah, you're using Skype, Dave?
No, it's Magic Jack.
Oh, you bought one of those things? Does it work? Is that why it was beeping throughout?
My brother-in-law gave it to us last week so that he could call his mother here.
Is that why
it's... having to pay an arm and a leg.
No, I don't want to break it to you, but it's been beeping throughout your phone calls. What's that beep?
Are you pressing the receiver near your
do
head?
Do you have a Paul Perillo-like fat cheek that's pushing the button while you actually speak?
Really? I'm not hearing any beep on my end.
And yeah, we want to return your magic, Jack. It's not so magic, Jack.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Listen, you guys were talking about classic shows there, and you mentioned the Elton John Billy Joel show.
Yeah.
And I actually brought my wife to that show. We were in the 11th row dead center.
Wow.
Because I had the contacts back then.
On the floor,
I could swing the ticket since I was working. Yeah, right down in front. So the show's about to start, about 10 minutes before showtime, and all of my buddies are climbing up into the lighting truss to run the spotlights.
Yeah.
And one up to the top and lost her grip and fell out of the lighting truss down to the drum riser.
What?
Almost landed on top of her husband, and everybody in the audience thought that she'd actually died. They delayed the show about half an hour while they were fixing everything up.
Oh.
Well, so my wife, who's not in the concert business, looked at me and goes, God, do you ever do that? And I go, on occasion, yeah. And the very next night, the stage crew had me working over at Great Woods, and they had me climb up to the truss for Peter Gabriel because the stage boss said, listen, I can't let anybody that hasn't done it before do it now. They'll get all mad at me if somebody else screws up and falls.
Wow.
So the day after, my wife looked at me and goes, you don't do that, do you? I'm up there in the lighting truss running a spotlight.
So did the woman, was she seriously injured, the one that fell? Or
she smashed up her arm. Good, but she was back the next year, back to work. So fortunately, in the long term, she was all right. In the short term, it was pretty messy and sort of threw a scare into everybody. But luckily, it wasn't anything she couldn't recover from. So.
And was it a good show?
Otherwise, it wouldn't be such a funny story.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it a good show? Because I'm going to see...
It was a good show. It was a good show.
I'm looking forward to it.
I was never really a big fan of Elton John's music, but he's very entertaining on stage.
And, oh, he's quite an entertainer. Yeah. He's got a flair.
Yeah.
All right, Dave.
All right, Dave, again.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Beep.
All right.
Beep.
That's going to make...
Don't forget that lunch.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
All right,
beep.
Back to the doctor. Yeah. That's going to make one of the great moments. That's funny.
No,
I
got a magic check.
End. Yeah. Yeah, of course you don't hear it.
Now I know why you get $19 full year of service or whatever they advertise on TV.
This is another unprecedented moment. We're going to read a second Dan Twogender email on the show.
Christ.
He says, Andy, you're stupid. I was at a Dave Matthews Band concert at Madison Square Garden. that James Brown came out and sang Sex Machine. If that isn't history, I don't know what is.
I didn't say you couldn't. That would be an example of historic. But that doesn't happen very often, right?
No. But maybe it did on that tour. I don't know.
I don't know. It's stupid.
Maybe he followed them around. Who knows?
Who cares about James Brown? Could see him in prison.
He's Bill,
dead, right? Sorry, James.
Yeah, the late respect. James Brown. Bill and Vale, guy
hey!
Who's been sending us gifts and stuff
where
lately.
Does he work?
Vale, Colorado.
No, but what's the name of the resort?
Vale Ski Mountain.
Yes.
No.
You might be thinking of his hometown, which he oh. doesn't list.
What's his hometown?
Beaver Creek, I think.
Oh.
That's the other mountain that Vale owns, so it's Vale and Beaver Creek, but I was trying to spare you today.
You get much beaver out there, do
so
you?
So is
Bill?
The Beaver Creek veiled by the mountains?
You got to unveil the beaver.
Oh, I guess so. Anyway, he says, oh, stop.
Screw you.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Funny if Tomash was here.
Hey, guys, including Eric. Oh. It's the first time for Bill. Another little quiz for the offseason. If you could have any of these coach QB combos, which would it be? Bill and Brady?
Yes.
Montana and Walsh? Levy and Kelly, obviously. Bill
and Brady.
Yeah.
Followed by Montana and Walsh, followed by...
By Levy and Kelly?
Yes, that order.
Yep. What would you give up for 19-0? The first Super Bowl three-peat? 4 more Super Bowls in the next 10 years? 5 more Super Bowls in the next 10 years? Nothing. Give me 19-0. I'll take D. Nothing. Give me 19-0.
I'll take 4 or 5 Super Bowls in the next whatever.
You would?
Yeah, if I'm understanding the question right.
What would you give up for the 19-0 season?
No, I let you keep 19-0, and I'm getting 5 Super Bowls in the next.
No, that's no. I don't think that's what he's saying.
Oh. Well, you know my feeling. I don't care about 19-0.
Then you'd want none of these?
I'm confused. I'm like Ralph Wilson. I just didn't really understand it. Did you know he has an $8 million painting in his living room?
He does?
Mr. Small Market Team.
Maybe I should be trying to market myself to him.
It's a Monet.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of Monet.
Mm-hmm. $8.5 million.
Wow. That's a very complicated situation.
Apparently
maybe he didn't
loves
know how
to
much
talk about it, too. It's like oh. the pride of
well, when we go to Buffalo, I should try to hit him up.
I have no formal artistic training.
I could start with that, maybe, and see what he says.
He could be your sugar daddy.
Because even if I could say, look, it's not going to be $8 million, but because I have no formal artistic training, but I'll settle for $1 million. Maybe I could get him to...
Or $12.
And maybe he'll tell me it's too complicated a proposal and I'll have to, you know, put something in writing or whatever.
Lubricants.
But no, it has nothing to do with that, Doc. Continuing, Bill and Vale. Who were we more like in 07? The 01 Rams, the 03 to 04 Colts, or the 93 Cowboys? I would say probably the Rams.
Oh, 304 Colts.
Was that the one when Manning was putting up 48, 49 touchdowns and they were...
Yeah. They didn't punt, right?
Right.
And they hadn't...
That's a tough one.
Their defense was just kind of
okay.
It wasn't terrible.
No.
Because the 07 defense here was just... It was a
defense. Okay.
It was
okay.
Not bad like last year's,
right.
But... That Rams defense in 01 was good, right? Well, at least in production. Didn't they have a ton of turnovers forced that year? I need a Rams.
Maybe.
Talk amongst yourself.
I think probably then it sounds like...
You by yourself.
That's not funny, nor accurate. so it sounds like we're probably going to lean toward the Colts on that one. Because they really were... Their offense was pretty much unstoppable. Until they came to the snow of Foxborough in January for the playoffs, but yeah, I think I'd have to
couldn't
go with that.
It.
I think I'd have to go with the Colts.
Eric, you're by yourself. That's not funny.
No, it's not.
Or true.
If you could go all weird science and build the perfect QB using 5 qualities of other QBs, this is kind of what you hinted at a few weeks ago. With,
yep.
What would they be? You can use Tom Brady's qualities, but you can't just say Tom Brady. The qualities being decision making. Arm strength, mobility, durability, and speed. Example, Brady's decision-making, Bledsoe's arm, Favre's mobility, Elway's durability, Vic's speed.
Elway's?
Durability.
I,
I would take Elway's arm.
I would take Elway's arm. I would take Michael Vick's speed because he's ridiculous.
I'd take Brady's decisions.
I would take Brady's durability as well. Because up until last year, I saw the man get up hit after hit after hit and play through injuries, play through shoulder or elbow tendonitis, things he's dealt with, even the ankle thing. I mean, I think he's incredibly durable.
He is, but you know what? I hate to say this because of who it is, but I would probably take Favre's durability first.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. Do we also get his prescription pad to go with it?
No, I don't know.
Then I don't want it because that's what kept him durable. Dude was drugged out of his mind.
Maybe.
We need a brewery and a pharmacy, and then if that comes with Brett Favre, that's the trifecta.
Yeah.
He's dedicated, don't get me wrong, but I think he was helped by substance abuse issues.
Probably.
Arm strength, I would take Elway. Yeah. Release, I would take Marino.
That's not one of them.
I made it one of them. Okay. I want Marino to be a part of it.
Okay.
Brady's toughness, and I'll take Montana's decision-making. That way I got some of Brady and Montana in me.
I'm okay with that. If you get to
not necessarily in me. I don't want to sound like Eric. I'm not fantasizing about having Julius Peppers like Eric does.
No, that's not going to happen.
Do I really, now that he's in Carolina for 1 year, I now have to deal with that for another year?
Yes.
Lord.
You see, just when the Brett Favre thing is going to come to an end, the Julius Peppers saga is going to pick up where that left off. That's how it's going to be.
I can't wait.
The Brett Favre thing really bothers me on a lot of levels. Not as much as it bothers you, because you know I'm okay if he wants to come back, do whatever. But he's going to wait till the start of camp. He'll let him know by then. And Major
that's the first
Dad,
day of camp.
Right. Major Dad says he's okay with that. And I understand what he says he's okay with. Favre needs to figure out, can he throw? How's the arm? Is he working towards that? Why can't he do that? Sign a contract. Sign a one-year, non-guaranteed deal. Come to Minnesota. Start learning the offense, and then it's not ready, they cut you at the start of camp.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If he's dedicated, if he's mentally dedicated to the Vikings, if I'm physically okay, I am going to play for you this year.
You and only
then
you.
Get your ass up there, study the playbook, get in with the coaches, continue with your rehab and your physical stuff. If that's okay, then you'll be on the team to open camp. If not, then you remain retired, you're cut, you're whatever the transaction needs to be.
Plus,
it's almost like Mr. Kraft bought the, what do they call that? The before he bought the land, he bought like the option to buy the land.
Okay.
Sign a deal so that the option to sign you belongs with the Vikings.
Right.
Whatever you need to do physically so you can be a Minnesota Viking temporarily, do that. Because otherwise, it's unfair to that team for you to show up in July and once again just try to learn an offense. And I know you have background with the offensive coordinator and the system and all that crap. But get your ass up there if you think you're going to play. That's what annoys me. Not that he's going to come back. But, he's holding another team hostage. How many teams are you going to hold hostage before you retire, Brett?
As many as he wants, apparently. And, you know, the other selling point for Minnesota is they have hunting season up there, do they now?
Oh, I'm sure they do. A little colder.
A little colder, but at this time of year,
sure,
I'm sure they have it, right?
Kill something in Minnesota, I'm sure.
Our guy Matt from Oregon would know that.
I've been meaning to ask him to email
in. He said he was going to come and bring us some stuff this year. We haven't heard from him
in a while. I just want to know
Oh.
Hunting accident?
Wow.
You went with Cheney?
I hope not.
I was just wondering if he's what he thought of Brock Lesnar and the latest UFC fight. And I think he's only fought like four or five times, but he's the undisputed champion. Well, he lost to Mir the first time, his name is, and then he beat the snot out of him this last time.
Yeah.
What a knockout this last time. One guy knocked another guy out in one of the undercard fights.
Yeah.
Basically knocked him out with one punch when the guy was on his feet, but he fell to the thing, to the canvas, and was in midair and decked him again while he was already out on the ground.
Oh.
The ref was trying to get in, but it was just one of those where he was too far away, and they were both kind of brutal.
Wow. Excuse me. Last
something
one.
In your throat?
Last one from.
Notice I don't say what you said to me.
You said it first that time.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Just read an email.
You used the word
read the
first.
Final email of the
the
day.
Final
do you understand that the show's almost over?
Yes, I do. The
thank
final
God,
part is
end this misery.
The final part
play
is
that shotgun again.
Make
shoot
a,
us.
Make a receiver with only two qualities that he was exceptionally good at. What would they be?
Jerry Rice.
Size, hands, speed, agility, and game sense.
Size, hands,
speed, agility, and game sense.
How about
I would take hands and speed.
I'll just take Jerry Rice.
Who had all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Moss.
I wouldn't take Moss. I'll take Rice. I don't think Moss is perfect. He's a phenomenal playmaker.
Yeah.
Tremendous talent. Hall of Fame talent. But I don't think he's perfect.
Yeah. That's a tough call.
Who are the top five receivers in the game right now before the show closes? You have 30 seconds. Go.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
Anquan Boldin.
Okay.
So you're thinking
Phoenix.
Yep. Randy Moss.
Okay.
I'll go with Terrell Owens.
Wow.
Just for his ability. Not because of the lunatic that he is.
For the first time in his life, Eric is steering clear of the Johnsons. Andre and Calvin.
And Calvin Johnson, I would put
you
up
leave
there.
Andre Johnson out of your top five? That's ridiculous.
That's tough.
You've said a lot of dumb stuff on this show, and we don't have time to argue this, but leaving Andre Johnson out of your top five
would
is an embarrassment
he
to
would
you
be
as
sixth.
A football analyst.
I give the nod to Calvin Johnson.
You just said I forgot about him.
No,
you need
I think
out.
Calvin
you
Johnson
need
is
out.
Better.
You're an idiot.
You need an in.
All right.
All right, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
But we gave it our best.
Yes. And I guess your best wasn't good enough.
Patriots.com Radio.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.